Welcome to another edition of Big Boot Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. John Schmelk, Paul Dottino with you. The phone number, 201-939-4513. We'll take your calls at least for the first part of the show. As we take us through day three of the NFL draft, the Giants had picks in rounds four and round five. They swapped with the Buccaneers in round number four. So they select 108th overall in round number four. And then in round number five, the Giants are in their regular spot. And they are selecting 139. So the final two picks for the Giants in this year's draft, we'll have them for you here. We'll try to get it all the way through on Giants.com. And, of course, the Giants were busy yesterday. Saquon Barkley on Thursday night. Last night they bring in Will Hernandez from UTEP, Lorenzo Carter from Georgia, and B.J. Hill incoming from NC State, a linebacker, a defensive tackle, and Hernandez, of course, the offensive guard. Saquon Barkley, the running back. We already have one pick off the board today. The Panthers, with the first pick in round number four, with the perhaps soon-to-be retirement of Greg Olsen. He's already doing some media stuff, Paul, with Fox.
Yes, he is.
and they don't want to get Jason Witten like the Cowboys have, who's going to Monday Night Football. At least it looks like he might be going to Monday Night Football.
Right.
They select who I thought was the best tight end on the board in Ian Thomas.
Yeah, so Thomas comes off, and now the Vikings are up for the second pick of the round. This would have been the Tampa Bay pick that was received in the JPP trade from the Giants. That's why the Giants are actually picking eighth in this round. Let's make that clear. We are number eight in this round as we go through what's happening right now. I will tell you this, John. The Giants are fortunate right now in that I think we believe the two thinnest positions on the roster remain at offensive tackle and at cornerback. And there are draftable guys with the appropriate value that still fit their need in this location. For me, I still would look at Tyrell Crosby. I know he had a little bit of a foot issue we discussed yesterday when he was at Oregon two seasons ago. Apparently, that's been a medical issue that has dropped him off a lot of boards because he was a second-round talent who's now available in the fourth round. If the medical checks out, good enough, low enough risk, I think it'd be a great value for them to take him here. I know you like Jamaco Jones from Ohio State.
I do.
He's the other tackle I believe holds value at this particular location for the Giants. And then for me, I think if you're going to go corner, I really like the two Alabama corners. And you know, I know that it's kind of the flavor of the month. What do you like about your corners? But I've got Anthony Averett and I've got Tony Brown as my two corners who I'd be seriously considering here in the fourth round for the Giants.
Yeah, and I think one guy that I like that I talked about on Twitter just a little bit, and he's a guy that dealt with an injury last year, so that's going to be an issue. Parry Nickerson out of Tulane. Mm-hmm. He's a smaller guy, but he's a slot corner, and I think that's where the Giants actually need a little bit of help, and I wouldn't be surprised if he came in and was good enough to be a starting slot corner early in the year. Very mobile. Does a good job staying with receivers, but again, he's only 5'10". He's not a big guy. So I think that's a guy I would think about. Holton Hill out of Texas. Now, there's some off-the-field stuff with him.
Suspended.
Yeah, there's some off-the-field stuff with him, but he's a very talented player. I don't know that Giants view him in terms of off-the-field stuff. That's another corner I would keep an eye on. The Giants already picked a linebacker. I don't think that necessarily means picking another one is off their board. So I think a couple other guys there, Shaquem Griffin out of South Florida. I know I'm higher on him than you are. Mm-hmm. And then Jannard Avery, I think a linebacker too that's out there that some people like, is a downhill attacking guy, especially against the run. I could see him being good competition for B.J. Goodson at linebacker. Wide receiver, Paul, Equanimeous St. Brown's the guy that I kind of have circled as who's left that I think is probably a good value at this point.
Yeah, if they want to go there, or Dean Kane.
Yeah, defensive line, Obanaya Okoronkwo is there, who I think is a pretty good player. At what point do you think about taking a roll of the dice on Josh Sweat, who has the knee issue out of Florida State?
I don't know that I do.
I'm not sure if I do either, but it's a name that people know is talented. Obviously, Maurice Hurst with the heart problem. We have no idea how the Giants medical staff looks at that. Something else to keep in mind. And then Deshaun Hand out of Alabama, the guy who was at the Senior Bowl, is a pretty talented defensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
I think he kind of, I'm not going to say copies B.J. Hill's skill set, but I think he's kind of in the same category. So
MCL
not sure.
With him, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they want to draft another guy that plays that type of spot.
Yeah, you know, again, we've told you folks this for many, many years as we've done these draft shows. The medical file is the thing that, you know, we have just absolutely no idea what's deep in those medical files. There are some public injuries that we all know about from college or from the combine that we're aware of. What we don't know is how much does that weigh against a player when you're thinking about drafting him. Every team has a different scale on that. And then, of course, there are other things that are in the medical file that none of us know because they haven't been made public before. And that also impacts a guy as well. So at this point in the draft, especially when you're getting into the third day, we're talking about names which, you know, we don't necessarily have the ability to peel back the layers of the onion to know as much about because these guys are considered lesser guys on the board, yep. Where the guys in the first two rounds, everybody pretty much knows what time they get up to eat in the morning.
Exactly. The Houston Texans pick is in at 103. We'll have that for you when that pick comes down. And we'll take your calls between now and when the Giants select at 108. That pick is six selections away. So get on the phones, folks, 201-939-4513. And we'll have John Ledyard at some point as well today from NDT Scouting. He'll join us to kind of give us his take and prediction on what the Giants might do in round number five. And it looks like the Texans are doing their selection from a United Way building somewhere in Texans.
Andre Johnson, wide receiver. Remember him?
Andre Johnson, who retired a couple years ago.
Very productive.
He's announcing the pick with their mascot and a few of the cheerleaders. And it looks like he's reading the cards, so it's going to come up in a second. The Houston Texans select. And they haven't picked the name. There we go. Kiki Coutu out of Texas Tech. Wide receiver. Tiny guy, just 5'9", 181. But he's a slot guy with some speed, Paul.
Well, hometown guy.
Yes.
Houston Texans, take the Texas guy. Totally understand that. Maybe they saw a lot more about him that they liked. I quite honestly thought that was high for him.
I thought so, too.
But nonetheless, they have
gone to him. What a slot guy, though. He's not a bad pick.
No, I don't think he's a bad pick. I just think it's high. I would have thought fifth, maybe even sixth round. You know, durability is going to be an issue with him because of his diminutive size. But, again, I don't want to hold out against small people. We have Lance Meadow on our crew, and we all love Lance.
Speak for yourself.
In any event, interesting pick, though. I do think they probably reached a little high. We ourselves named a couple of receivers only a few minutes ago who we thought have actually fallen to where they're very good value at this point in the draft.
Absolutely. And we mentioned one, Equanimeous St. Brown. I thought, for me, the last receiver that was on the upper tier that went in the draft, or I should say the second tier in the draft, was Michael Gallup, who went to the Cowboys in round number three. I thought they got pretty good value there.
Yeah.
A team traded up for Anthony Miller, the Bears, in round number two. I'm a bigger fan of his than you are. And, of course, you had the two wide receivers go in the first round of the draft with DJ Moore and Calvin Ridley. And then Cortland Sutton was the first receiver off the board in round number two.
As is usually the case, because you don't get a lot of trade action on the third day, these picks are flying off the board because the Colts have already announced that their card is on their way to the podium, or at least the remote podium, as it seems the NFL is doing all these picks by remote today.
Yeah, and we've done that before. We've had those picks come from stadiums and everything else. And this is when TV purposely slows down exactly how fast these teams are putting their picks up.
They have to.
They have to.
They got commercials and everything else to squeeze in.
Well, you always got to get your commercials in. You always have to get your commercials in. All right, 201-939-4513. Let's doing some calls here. Phil in North Carolina is up next. What's up, Phil? How are you?
Hi, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear, Phil.
All right, thank you. Hey, good job, as usual. So here's my take on the draft so far is that I called, I think, last week, whatever. I was not a big fan of grabbing the running back. I don't think value is there ever to have a first-round running back. I always think it's better to have second, third, fourth, et cetera.
If I can ask you to pause for half a second, Saquon Barkley just had a press conference, and one of the key points he made is that he wants to talk to Jonathan Stewart, the former Panther who's with the Giants and has been in this league for a decade, to learn from him what it takes to become a long-term running back in this league.
Of course, you could argue that that's not a skill and that's just more body chemistry.
But it can be a game plan, so to speak.
And you also hope that, unlike Jonathan Stewart, Saquon Barkley doesn't have two or three years in the middle of his career where he can't play because of foot injuries.
No doubt. But the point is Saquon Barkley is well aware of the short lifespan of a running back, and he's going to try to do everything he can. He's already planning now, before he steps on the field as a Giant, on how he can elongate his productive seasons. I just wanted to get that out there. He's aware of it, and he's going to try to do something about it.
Well, yeah, I think he's certainly well-spoken, intelligent. He seems like a great guy. Skill set is excellent. So he checks all those things. It's just my preference not to draft a running back in the first round. So, I mean, Tiki was terrific, right? He was a second rounder. So
he was.
So, you know, if he's as, you know, I guess the goal for him would be better than Tiki.
Now, Phil, look, right? You're right. Look, there's absolutely no doubt about it, and I've been saying this for 3 months, so I'm not going to say that you're wrong. You can find good running backs in the middle rounds of a draft. No one would argue that point.
Right. So, and then the other thing is, of course, I wanted them to get, Darnold, and so I was extremely disappointed with the, chain of events there. And, so as a kind of a closing, well, I'll say one more thing after this. As far as that goes, basically we have to have Davis Webb equal to Darnold for this thing to pan out, or just close enough in the neighborhood that with the combination of Barkley and Webb surpasses Darnold.
Well, so, I don't think, Phil, I don't think you need Webb to be Darnold. I think if Saquon Barkley allows this team to compete for a Super Bowl in the next 3 years, I think that's a worthy sacrifice for having the future quarterback a little bit more of a question. And I think that's – and I think you're right. It's twofold. It's the quarterback of the future, sure. That's part of it. I'm never going to argue that because I've talked about that for 3 or 4 months here. But if the pick and what they do in this draft makes the Giants a competitive team that makes deep playoff runs for the next 3 years – and Barkley's a big part of that, I have a hard time telling you that what they did really wasn't a good move, because you're competing for a Super Bowl, and that's the whole point of the exercise, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Yeah, I don't disagree with you. That's a good point. I know that you discussed that yesterday, and you can't – yeah, I agree with that. I guess one other thing is on the other picks I really like, the only thing I question a little is, B.J. Hill, like – I don't know why I get the feeling like he's a Jay Bromley clone, but I'm hoping he's better than Jay Bromley. So that would be my only concern. But the other guys, I love the guard, obviously, and I love the Carter. So,
well, thank you for the call. We appreciate your time listening to us. I would say this. I thought Bromley, when he was taken, we had heard comparisons about his athleticism and his slicing ability. He was going to be a penetrating defensive tackle. I'm not getting that impression from the Giants on Hill. He's more of a power guy who's going to scrap in the trenches and a stay-at-home guy. I don't see them as the same kind of guys,
well,
John.
Well, I'll tell you, I watched 2 games of Hill this morning. I tried to get a little bit early, and I watched 2 games on tape. I watched his game against North Carolina late in the year, and I watched his game against Boston College. He had sacks in both those games. Wanted to kind of see how he got penetration when he got it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a couple pass rush moves. He did a nice spin move on a guard on one play, and he got back inside for a sack. He's not a two-gap player. He's not.
No.
He's a guy that will one gap and he'll try to penetrate. Is he somebody that's, up the field every play? No. He's strong enough to handle double teams. I saw him kind of do the straight arm on a couple guards to create space and make a tackle, which you would like to see. I saw him take on double teams, and he was good with that. He's got a good motor. He does try to get upfield. He's not constantly in the backfield, Paul. My point is that he's not a guy that's trying to just hold his ground. He is trying to get upfield and penetrate.
Yeah, but Bromley was more of the athletic guy who was supposed to be more of a slicer. That's what we were told when he got here.
I have a hard time differentiating only because I break it down to 2 categories. Are you trying to occupy two blockers, or are you trying to get upfield?
Wow. Antonio Callaway, the receiver out of Florida, has just gone to the Browns after Nyheim Hines, the running back, went to the Colts.
I like the Nyheim Hines pick, by the way.
Hines, a heck of a scat back.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he's going to be a really, really sweet scat back for Indianapolis. Callaway had a lot of red flags on him.
He didn't play last year because of those red flags.
A lot of them.
And there was a reported incident where he tested positive at the combine.
Whatever. In any event, that's incredibly high for a gentleman who's got a thick personnel folder, I would think, John.
No, the Browns,
that's about the nicest way I can say it.
The Browns do have a lot of picks, so I guess you can at some point roll the dice on somebody.
Yeah, they're telling us the Broncos pick is in, the Jets are on the clock, and the Giants are up next.
Yeah, moves quick.
Let's
moves
go.
Quick.
Let's
moves
go.
Quick. All right, let's try to squeeze in another call here before we get to the Giants pick. Tim and Tinek, he's up next. Hey, Tim.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
What's up, buddy?
Hi.
I'm first-time caller from Teaneck, New Jersey, but I live in Philly now, so I got these Eagle fans on my back.
I'm sure.
Sorry.
But I love everything that's going on right now. It looks like old Giant football, run first, pass later, a lot of weapons. But I got a question. I love Eli. He can't do no wrong. I like Davis Webb. But I also know Shermer's son is coming out next year. What do you think about him?
I have not looked at him on tape.
Nor have I.
All I know is that he puts up good numbers, and he's 6'4", and he's tall. That's pretty much what I know about the kid, so I'm not going to go much further than that. I can tell you this.
I know you two can't say anything, but
Tim, real quick, I guarantee you one thing. Pat Shermer probably loves him to death.
I know that.
Josie Jewell, Iowa inside linebacker, goes to the Denver Broncos, by
pick.
The way.
I like that pick.
So the Jets are on the clock, and the Jets now, their pick is already in, and the Giants are on the clock. And again, I'm going to reiterate, thank you for the phone call.
We appreciate it.
John, I'm going to reiterate, for me, it's Crosby. I understand the injury thing. For you, it's Jones if the Giants go tackle, correct?
Yes, I would pick Jones, but I'd be fine with Crosby. I like both guys. I'm fine with either one.
And again, I also think that corner should absolutely be a consideration for the Giants.
If I had to guess,
Brown would be the two guys for me from Alabama.
If I had to guess who they would pick, I think they would pick Crosby here. But of course, I said that around three, and how'd that work out?
We don't know how heavily they're weighing the medical.
Yeah.
If the Giants are going to weigh the medical heavily, then Jones would be the better pick out of Ohio State.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that simple.
Absolutely. Look, this is a pretty decently deep corner draft. It wasn't so deep at the top necessarily, but there are a lot of guys that you have in the middle rounds that you could like. You mentioned Anthony Averett. He ran a 4.36 at the combine, so he certainly has speed. They worry about his ability to kind of carry guys down the field.
By the way, the Jets pick is now in.
And they're announcing it.
And they're about to announce it. So
at the Intrepid, it looks like, right?
That's pretty cool. Yeah. It is. That's Marty Lyons, isn't it?
Is that Marty?
It looks like it. He's got a cap on and sunglasses. And then, of course, hey, you know what? We're talking about the two biggest needs we think the Giants still have. But as you mentioned earlier, what if they decide to go with Equanimity State Brown?
Yeah.
And say, Joe, you know what? He's a good value wide receiver. They could do that. I mean, they would not be wrong to draft a wide receiver who's got better value than the fourth round.
Yeah, absolutely no question about it. They also have a couple kids from a local children's hospital there, which is great to see.
The Jets do.
Yes,
at the Intrepid, by the way.
Correct.
Let's make that clear.
I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah, that was a bit of a non sequitur. I apologize.
Way that flowed.
Yeah, absolutely.
It sounded like they were available to be picked.
Well, they are, I suppose. But
are they eligible?
Yeah, I don't know.
Chris Herndon to Miami tight end to the Jets.
Yes. And again, I think we're getting pretty thin now with the tight end position.
Paul. Yes, I would agree with that 100%.
There's not a ton of guys left on the board that you're going to like. Herndon is a guy that
– MCL, by the way, for him.
Yeah, knee surgery in November. Good run after the catch guy, good athlete. I'm not sure how much of a blocker he is, though.
And by the way, much like we have seen throughout the entire draft, the Giants pick is already in.
Yeah, shocking.
Moments after they get on the clock, Dave Gettleman, via mental telepathy, forcing that pick to travel across the United States, and the Giants will have this pick in momentarily. We'll have to wait for NFL Network as they delay the pick. They got to finish showing Chris Herndon highlights before they get to the Giants pick.
I'm with you. I think it's Crosby. That's my guess.
I would think if it were me, I'd probably take a chance on the medical and take Crosby, but I could understand if the Giants medical staff has said, whoa, 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 red flag, you can't take him.
And like we've said a million times, we don't have these medical reports.
We don't.
So there's no way for us to comment or judge anybody off of that. I like Jamarco Jones. I would pick him over Crosby if I was personally making the pick.
Mm-hmm.
But I think both guys, they're probably right next to each other on my imaginary board. So I'd be fine with either one. And Crosby's someone I think that certainly has physical ability, and I think the Giants would be wise to bring him in to compete for that
pro
right
system in
spot.
Oregon too.
Pro-ish. I mean,
enough.
I don't think he's in a 3-point stance much.
No, but most NCAA guys aren't anymore.
Exactly.
So, you take what you can get. But in any event, and then there are some people, by the way, who think Crosby's got the versatility to play guard.
Some people think that might be his landing spot if he can't handle the foot speed required to tackle. But I can't guarantee that. They're showing some of the great tailgating over at MetLife Stadium. There's a bit of a draft party over there, by the way.
Yes, there is, right across the parking lot.
Folks want to head down, have a little bit of fun. They're over there, so you can make sure you check that out. And the Giants pick is in. We're just waiting for it to be announced here. Other tackles we talked about, Will Richardson out of NC State. The Giants already drafted one NC State guy. Maybe they're thinking about another one. And now they're about to make the selection here. We got, is that Brandon London, I think?
It sure is, with Jackrabbit.
Jackrabbit. No question about it.
So the Giants are picking right now, and the...
And Madeline Burke's in there, too, on the left.
I do see her here in the fourth round. And, you know, they got one more pick in the fifth. Remember, the sixth and seventh, they traded them. Kyle Walletta.
And you know what, Paul?
Richmond quarterback.
I said that he was one of the better value picks here, but me and you did not get the sense that quarterback would be in the mix based on what Dave Gettleman said. But I cannot argue with the value here. I thought he would be off the board at the end of round two or the start of round three. I was surprised he was still here. We didn't talk about it much today because, as we said at yesterday's show, based on what Dave Gettleman has kind of said about the position, we kind of sensed that maybe quarterback wasn't in the mix, and it just shows you that maybe you don't believe everything, Dave. Maybe you don't take too much out of what Dave Gettleman says, and he's going to pick the best player on the board. And, Paul, I happen to think he's the MVP of the Senior Bowl.
Yes,
he played
was.
Really well there. A lot of people thought he was a Patriots target in this draft. Doesn't have the best arm, but he knows how to play the game. He knows how to put the ball where it belongs. He knows how to play football, and I think this is a very good value pick in round four. And now we're going to have a lot of fun competition at the quarterback position over the next year.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. I like it. I like the pick.
He does not have one of the stronger arms in
like
the
draft. Like I said, that's one of the things that's a knock.
But. You want to talk about the pluses, it starts with accuracy.
And he's a smart kid, too.
No question. This tells me the Giants will have three quarterbacks on their 53 this year.
Yeah! What, are you kidding me? They might have four. I'm just kidding. Not going to have four.
Folks, you know me. I was dead set against a quarterback in this draft through and through. I thought they would keep two quarterbacks. I thought that, as I've said even this morning on WFAN, I thought they'd bring a third guy in during the summer to be an arm. Maybe even sign a veteran potentially to be the third quarterback to hang around if they needed one. But I did not think they would have three quarterbacks on this roster, and it's obvious now that they will because you did not draft Loletta to cut him in a couple of months. That's not why he's going to be here.
What have I said since the beginning of this process and the reason I was in favor of selecting a quarterback? You want to improve the probability as much as possible that you have a successor to Eli Manning. And Dave Gettleman said in his press conference last week, he's walking a tightrope. And Troy Apke, by the way, out of Penn State, who had unbelievable measurements at the combine, a safety, goes to the Washington Redskins for the next pick off the board. Anyway, so you want to increase your probability of having Eli Manning's next franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. The most important thing the Giants will do in the next 4 to 5 years, aside from potentially playing in a Super Bowl, is figuring out Eli Manning's succession plan. And that is on Dave Gettleman's plate. He understands that. He has said that before. He gets it, okay? We don't know how much longer Eli is going to play. He's under contract for two more years. And adding a guy like Loletta, you're not using premium pick and losing out on a guy like Barkley, right? But you're providing another guy in the mix that could eventually develop into a Eli Manning successor. Competition's a great thing. They love it. And now you have two guys that are a third and fourth round pick, a third round pick in Davis Webb, a fourth round pick in Loletta, that can now compete to be that backup quarterback and the successor to Eli Manning. It increases the odds of you having that guy in the roster. I think that's really important. I'm almost excited now as you were yesterday. How about that?
And I'm sitting here just saying clearly value with Loletta. And I don't disagree with your thoughts, John. I think he absolutely has a make it grade to be in the league. I don't know that he'll be more than a really good backup. Maybe he will be a starter for somebody at some point. I certainly don't think he's a better prospect than Davis Webb, at least in my opinion. But
well, one was a third round pick, one was a fourth, so that makes sense.
Competition is good at any position. No one will ever argue that. That's one of the core fundamentals of all sports. But yeah, I'm stunned. I'm stunned that they would take a QB. In any event, it clearly also shows you that the value, his grade, must be far superior than anyone else who was left on their board because they basically took the need component and pushed that to the side and just said his value's too good. You got to take him.
No question. And look, I thought he was going to be, after Mason Rudolph, the next quarterback off the board. And I thought it was going to happen relatively quickly at the end of round two. But then Mason Rudolph dropped to the middle of round three, and that probably pushed Kyle Loletta, Luke Falk back, Mike White back, the other quarterbacks kind of in that group. Again, I think it ain't, and by the way, the Raiders select Nick Nelson, cornerback out of Wisconsin. So, look, the bottom line here, Paul, it's a good value pick. Obviously, Dave Gettleman's a big fan of his. And again, you're simply doing your due diligence and doing the best you can to make sure that you have Eli Manning's replacement on the roster. Whenever he decides to, you know, call it quits, whether it's in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, whenever that happens, you're increasing the odds of having that guy here, which I think is a very important thing to do.
Again, the issue is that if you're going to weigh need heavily, you look at this and you say they obviously have other needs more pressing than a third quarterback. But value, just too good to pass up in their estimation. I don't think there's just any other way to explain it. Nick Nelson, by the way, after Apke, the safety went to the Redskins. Nick Nelson, a cornerback out of Wisconsin, goes to the Oakland Raiders. Rams are up on the clock. Wow. So we move on, John. I will say this. If they were going to take a QB or somebody was going to be sticking out like a sore thumb on their value board, Mike White is the only other quarterback I think.
That was my next guy.
That could possibly have been in that type of scenario. I don't know that there's anybody else after him. Loletta and White were kind of on that same plane in my mind. If someone was going to, you know, take a shot at one of them.
201-939-4513. Let's get your reactions on the phones and go to Tony and Chelsea first. Tony, what's up?
Hey there. So I was really hoping for us to take a quarterback with our first round pick.
Well, you got one now.
I'm just saying, I'm disappointed with what we just picked up. I mean, you guys said he doesn't have a strong arm. How's he going to deal with the wind?
Well, not one of the stronger arms in the draft.
He doesn't have a top tier arm. He's
right.
Certainly, okay. He can make all the throws. He's not Chad Pennington.
No, he has a stronger arm than Chad Pennington.
Okay,
not one of the stronger arms.
Yes, but he can make the throws.
Okay. I'm trying to get around to accepting our first round pick. I'm just wondering, our offensive line, is it good enough even with the upgrade? Richburg was never a real mauler, and Brett Jones is smaller than he is. He's tiny. Do you think he'll be able to last the full season? And do you believe
But that's why they've got two bulldozers at guard next to him. That's why the Hernandez pick is so terrific. And of course, they bring in Mame from the Jags. You're talking about two very large framed and powerful individuals who are going to be flanking each of his shoulders. That helps out Brett Jones immeasurably.
Right. And at right tackle, what happened with Flowers? I mean, you would think with new coaching staff, new year, that, you know, he would be the first person up for training camp, but
do we know
what happened with him?
He chose not to come here. That's what we know.
Dave Gettleman said it's on him.
It was his choice. He's an adult, and he made an adult decision. That was Dave Gettleman's quote, and I couldn't put it any better myself.
Yep.
I got you. But what are we going to do at right tackle? I mean, I hear they're trying to trade him and things like that. I mean,
Chad Wheeler is going to be there to compete. Adam Biznavati is going to be there to compete, and you'll see who's the best player to win that job. I know it's probably not what you want to hear, but it's really that simple.
Right now, that's what you got.
Yeah.
I guess. Just that I keep hearing people complain about Eli. I'm saying I want to see Eli behind a decent offensive line before I say he's so much in decline. And I just wish we really get a complete offensive line for him.
We're
closer.
They added three starters this offseason. And that's what me and Paul both said they had to add this offseason for us to be comfortable with it. They added Solder a starter. They added Patrick Omame a starter. And then they drafted Will Hernandez a starter. So I think it's better. Is it perfect? No, but that's okay. It's hard to move in four new guys in an offseason with premium value, whether it's a draft or free agency. Three new starters, I think, is a pretty good turnover, if you ask me.
Yeah, I do agree. It's just that with Eli and his declining years, we don't have too many more years left in him, and I really don't believe the heir apparent is on this team right now. I know Paul is high on Davis Webb, but I just don't see it.
Okay,
fair enough.
Have a good day.
Good call, buddy. But here's that's why you make a pick like Kyle Loletta. Look, is he a Sam Darnold talent? No, He's not. That's why he's available in the fourth round. It wasn't available in the first. But again, I thought Kyle Lauletta was going to be a second or third round pick in this draft. I really did. End of round two, top of round three. And I thought it fit the Patriots really well. I thought it kind of it was kind of in that Jimmy Garoppolo mode. That's how I saw him. I think it's very good value. And again, I look, Paul and I have differentiated on the quarterback thing, all right? So I think I can probably speak to this a little bit better than him because I've thought about this a long time, folks. And this is the bottom line, and this is the argument I had with picking a quarterback early, all right? There are no sure things in the draft. It's one thing that I think is a principle everyone should hold on to and understand. There's no sure things. Every pick you make, there's a probability of moderate success, great success, or failure. It's just the way it goes. Circumstances, whatever. Okay? You have Davis Webb on the roster. Some people believe he will be the next starting quarterback. Some people believe he won't. The fact of the matter is it's not that black or white. Okay? There's a percentage chance he's going to succeed and not succeed based on how he prepares, injuries, and things that we can't even predict, and the type of guy that he is. Okay? We'll see if it works or not. It might not. But when you draft a guy like Lauletta, you have another guy that goes through that same process, and you have a percent chance that he'll succeed or fail. So, and again, these are random numbers. Would you rather just have Davis Webb on the roster at a 40% chance of being Eli Manning's successor? Or would you rather have Davis Webb as a 40% chance of being a successor and Kyle Lauletta at a 30% chance of being Eli's successor? It increases your probability of having your next guy, which is an important thing to do. Go ask the Packers what it felt like to go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. It felt damn good. Go ask the Colts what it felt like to go from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck. It felt damn good. Mm-hmm. Go ask the Cowboys what it was like to go from Tony Romo to Dak Prescott. It felt damn good. All right? That's why the Steelers took Mason Rudolph. Look, Ben Roethlisberger and Eli Manning got selected in the same draft. Okay? They're about the same age. They have X number of years to go, whatever that letter X will represent. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, Big Ben has flirted with retirement more than Eli has publicly. We know that for a fact, okay? That's why they probably use a little bit of a higher pick. They pick Mason Rudolph middle of the third round. Giants pick Lauletta at the top of the fourth round, okay? I think it makes sense for both teams. You can never – what was it, Ron Wolf? What'd he say? You draft a quarterback every year, and you hope one figures it out.
Yeah. And that is true.
And when you have a 36, 37-year-old quarterback on the roster, it's not a bad philosophy to live by. So, again – I'm all for it. I think it's a good hedging of the bets at the quarterback spot where you can never be too secure.
Hedging of the bets and increasing your odds, totally understand that, totally agree with the mathematics behind it, disagree with the fact that there were other more pressing needs, and I think there was still good enough value at other spots that could have helped them more immediately.
Maybe the front office doesn't think that.
And they have to not think that, or they wouldn't have done what they did.
Right.
So, they're getting paid the big bucks to make a decision on the value board, and if the value's there, you do it.
In terms of, like, if I was to do a mock draft, for example, and I took a look at these guys, the only guys that are left on the board, and I wish I had a master list here, I don't. I'm just kind of going off of memory on what I looked at this morning. The guys that I think could have went as high as Lauletta, I think you're looking at Crosby. I thought Lauletta would go before Jamarco Jones. I thought Lauletta would go before all of the cornerbacks left on the board. So I think based on pure value on where I thought he was going to go, I think it makes sense. It makes sense. It makes sense to me. 201-939-4513. We continue to get your reaction. B.J. Hill will join us in a second. Let's go to Carlos in Pennsylvania. He's up next on Giants.com. What's up, Carlos? How are you?
Good, good. How you guys doing?
We're good, man.
Hey, first time, love what you guys do.
Thank you.
I'm going to listen all the time. The last caller stole my Eric Flowers thunder. I was just wondering, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, what are the chances that they keep him? I mean, if they're shopping him around, haven't heard much about it.
Bottom line on that, they aren't just going to throw him in the trash can and get nothing back for him, okay? So it's just a matter of what anybody can figure out. Again, that's just rumors. I have no evidence that the Giants are actually shopping him. It's just reports that are out there. Obviously, they'd prefer him to be here, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I just he's been playing out of position. You know, we got a new coaching staff. I was hoping he would get a chance at right tackle. And
well, he does.
He's got a chance at right tackle if he wants to use it.
Yes.
I mean, that's you know, opportunity's knocking and somebody's got to open the door.
You took the words out of my mouth.
Yeah. So what are the chances you guys think that he could, you know, make comeback, make amends? And
I'm not inside his head, and believe me, I don't want to pretend to be.
Nope. I appreciate the call. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. We're going to have BJ Hill in a second. I just want to make sure that we get him on as soon as we connect with him. Okay, that's all right. We'll try him again. Just, you know, give him a ring when you get a chance. That's okay. So let's go to T in Maryland in the meantime as we can try to connect with BJ Hill. T, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
By the way, Hamilton, the receiver from Penn State, just went to the Broncos.
Second wide receiver. They picked Cortland Sutton earlier in
this
draft.
Yes, they
did. So doubling up on wide receivers for Denver. Go ahead. What's up, T?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, John. I mean, Paulie and John.
Hi.
You know, I hadn't called in a while, and the last time I called, me and Paulie had a good talk about the O-line, and I know Paulie is a big Hog Molly guy, but your reaction to when they got this quarterback, Kyle Laletta, let me tell you, I used to live in Richmond, and my nephew plays for VMI, and he played against him.
Uh-huh.
My nephew said he had to watch film on this guy a lot because his arm is the truth. He said the guy reads very well. I mean, very well. So I had to call and let you know that, hey, not that I'm not a Davis Webb fan, and I really am, and I hope that they both get a chance. But like you said, John, hey, competition breeds out the best, and it's better to have two potentials than no potentials. And I kind of like the movement. I'm really glad that they did it. But I must say, as much as I love Saquon Barkley, I am, like, jumping up and down because of Will Hernandez. It's like having two bulldozers next to a tractor right there with the center and two guards, man. I am loving this right now.
Yeah. We're on the same page there. You said your nephew played at VMI against Richmond and Loletta. What position was he? Was he a member of the secondary?
Yeah, my nephew plays corner for VMI.
Corner? Oh, that's cool. So, he look, there is no question. When you looked at Loletta, accuracy was the number one thing that just stood out. And as John said, smarts. When smarts and accuracy go together, you got a guy who's going to at least give you a chance. So I don't know specifically what they thought about him upstairs, but there's no doubt that he did have some positives and he did have draftable grades on him. I'm not gonna diss the player in any way.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm just surprised that they went for the position. But thank you.
Oh, no question. And let me tell you, and another thing that my nephew said about him is he's very, very patient. So I'm really excited about this because Davis Webb has been studying with Eli, and then Laletta comes out and he's a real good, you know, student of the game. So, hey, I'm trusting everything that Gettleman does, and, you know, I'm really appreciating this draft. Is like, I've been in tune to this draft more so than the previous years. I'll just say that.
Mm-hmm.
Not knocking anyone the previous, but I've been in tune to this one a little more.
I will say this. That quarterback room is probably going to have to have a new sign on it. It says Mensa, because all three of these guys are really smart. We got to run.
T, have thanks a great for the call. Buddy. T, thank you,
have
buddy.
Have a good one, guys.
All right, now we're joined by the Giants' third-round pick, their second third-round pick of this year's draft. That's B.J. Hill, defensive tackle of NC State. B.J., you got John Schmelk and Paul Dottino here in East Rutherford, New Jersey, inside the Giants facility. Congratulations on being a member of Big Blue. How'd you sleep last night?
Well, thank you. Oh, I slept amazing because I know I'm going to a great place.
All right, well, let's talk about your game a little bit. I had a chance to put on a couple of the games this morning on tape. I watched your game against North Carolina and Boston College. And I think you provide a unique combination. I saw you take on some double teams, straight arms, some guards to make some tackles in the run game. But at the same time, you're trying to get upfield and penetrate into the backfield. How would you describe your game to Giant fans?
I would say I'm a physical player, hard worker, and a relentless effort to the ball. I try to play hard as I can and get to the ball. I love taking on double teams, beating double teams, splitting them, and making the play if I have to. I love when they try to bully me one-on-one and making the play. And I'm an athlete, so you can see it on film, too, where I'm moving around and my quickness and stuff like that.
Definitely athletic, BJ. I thought your get-off at the snap was very good. And to me, that's a tremendous advantage for anybody in the trenches when you're quick off the snap. Where do you see yourself fitting into a James Betcher defense? We know he's going to be supposedly a 3-4, but it is very multiple. And guys do a lot in terms of their playing end, they're playing tackle, they're asked to rush, they're asked to hold the fort. How do you see it coming together for you?
Wherever he needs me to play, I'll play it. Like I said, I'm an athlete, and I can play on the field wherever he needs me. So I'm comfortable playing nose, the three, if we need to, or anything, the end. I'm comfortable playing anything.
Needless to say, BJ, you played on an extremely talented defensive line at NC State.
Yeah.
You've had a couple of your teammates also get drafted so far in the draft, in Chubb and Jones, and now you're off the board as well. What was it like playing with those guys, and how did you guys work together to make each other better to be ready for a jump like this?
One thing we always did, we always competed on the field, off the field, everything we did, and that's what made us so good and such a close group. We're like brothers, and we just love playing for each other. And that's how I say we just love the game of football, and that's what made it so special and it was so good this year.
What do you think the biggest adjustment will be for you in the pro game? Will it be the mental processing of what's going on? Will it be the strength and the power of some of the guys as you step up a level? Or do you think that, you know, playing in such a situation as you were, that you're probably almost pro ready?
I think just getting used to the speed of the game, and it's something new. It's way different from college, especially. So it's just getting used to that and learning the new playbook and just learning new terms from the coaches and stuff like that.
One thing, Dave Gettleman, and we're joined by B.J. Hill, the Giants' third-round pick out of NC State, defensive tackle. He talked about the defensive tackle position after they drafted you last night at his press conference. And he talked about how it's an unglamorous position, and it's a position that requires violence. What is it about your personality that makes you embrace that dirty work part of playing defensive tackle?
I don't know. I just love the physicality of the game and love taking on double teams. And it just feels so good when you beat that double team and come off and making the play. And I just love it. And it's like a kind of a sack to me. Like it's playing in college, because you're playing the one and you're doing all the dirty work. So I just embrace it and I love it.
Well, I'm sure that as of now, your favorite team is the Giants. But could you give us an indication as to maybe who you modeled yourself after when you were entering the college ranks and as you tried to achieve your goal of becoming an NFL player?
I watched a lot of people in college and just watched a lot of different defensive linemen play and how they play different locks. I'm going to say I play like anybody or anything, but I just watched a lot of the film of players and teams to see how they're playing certain blocks, how they pass rushes and stuff like that.
BJ, final question from me. You're going to be joining a team now with two defensive tackles that know how to do the stuff that you're trying to get better at and you're already pretty good at. Snacks Harrison, who I believe is the best run stuffer in the entire NFL, and Dalvin Tomlinson, who had a hell of a rookie year coming out of Alabama. How excited are you to work with those guys and be in the same meeting room as them?
Oh, I'm ready to learn from them. They're veteran guys. They've been there, and they're good at what they do. So I know they're going to help me step my game up, and I'm ready to compete and win a job there.
My final question, BJ, what do you want the New York Giants fans to know about you that maybe they haven't seen on tape or haven't read, and that when you come onto this campus here, you're going to be able to prove and show to them?
That I'm going to be the best me out there. I'm going to give it all I got to be able to win a championship. That's the end result for me. I'm a winner, and I love to win. And I want to win championships and put us on top. And that's my goal.
Well, the Giants hope you help take them there. BJ, congratulations. We look forward to seeing you up here in the next couple of days. Enjoy it, and we'll see you up here in New Jersey soon, all right?
All right, sounds good.
Take care.
Thank you, BJ. It was a pleasure. BJ Hill, Giants second third-round pick out of NC State. Again, he played mostly one shade in their 4-3 front, which one shade, folks, that means he's not over the center like a nose tackle. He's close to the center, but in between the center and the guard.
Yeah.
And we'll see how that translates to what James Betcher wants to do here. But he's going to fit right in with Dalvin Tomlinson, with Josh Morrow, with Snacks Harrison, obviously, and then he's going to be an impactful player in there.
Yeah, well, you know, I love what when Dave Gettleman, as you said, talks about the violence of the trenches, because that's what he believes.
Yep.
The trenches, that's football 101. You build from the inside out. And so while initially I was surprised last night when they went for a defensive tackle, you can never be strong enough in the trenches. And they obviously saw value here in a guy who is tough, physical, will deal with the nasty violence down there along the line of scrimmage. Hey, you know what? That's a win. And you could listen to his attitude, John. You know, every single one of these guys who we have talked to in the last 2 days has been grinning ear to ear while they've been on the phone with us. You could sense it.
The way his voice lit up when I talked about his
violence.
Embracing the violence of his position.
Did you hear that?
Sounded like a kid on Christmas morning. It was great. And look, and that's what Dave Gettleman said at the press conference.
It's a dirty job.
And it's not a fun job. Who likes taking on double teams? It's the worst.
You know,
his players hate that. He loves it.
It's up to him to make sure he clears out the traffic for guys like Lorenzo Carter and Alec Ogletree. And there are
BJ Goodson.
And there are a lot of guys. There are a lot of guys in this league who want to make the tackle themselves. But if you're going to be truly effective on a really good defense in the NFL, you need to understand that sometimes the best thing you could do is just clog up the traffic for the other guys.
And penetrate, and he does that too. All right, let's get a few more calls in. We got some fans up there. We're going to have John Ledyard in about 5 minutes at 1 o'clock. So, Brandon, let's take these four guys, and then we'll get John up on the phone, all right? Let's go to Dan in Delaware. He's up next. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Dan. What's up?
Hey, you know, I called on Friday, and we talked a little bit about round two, and I'll just say, like, I was very, very, very happy with round two, day two, I should say, and I liked all three of the picks. Hill is the guy that I probably knew the very least about, so it was nice to hear him talk.
No, Dan, you know what? And we agree, and Paul and I purposely, over the course of the last couple of months, and maybe we should have done a better job of it, I just didn't think we expected that was a real big need with Tomlinson and Snacks already on
right.
the roster. But you can't have enough defensive linemen. And you know what? It was stupid on our part. Because if you go back, B.J. Hill's the type of players that Dave Gettleman likes to draft. So we probably should have done a better job on some of the really, we should have on some of the defensive tackle prospects.
Well, I mean, I'm not like – see, the thing is, like, I like football. I watch football. I watch a lot of college. But I'm not a type of guy that's like – I can break film down, and I know a lot of scheme-specific stuff and gaps and things like that. So, you know, but all I do is I watch the rankings. I watch the people who are supposed to be the experts, and I listen to a lot of what they say. And I know a lot of these guys had Hill in like, they're rated in their top 50 players. So I looked at a guy like Carter and Hill as guys that were probably – we would not even have a shot at in the third round. So to me, I mean, assuming they're good at their job and they evaluate these guys, right, we got really, really good value for those players, especially Carter, who I did know about because I obviously Georgia was in a lot of big-time games this year.
Oh, yeah.
I was extremely happy. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. I wanted a guy like a Hernandez or a Daniel, so I'm glad we got one of the two. I did want to ask Paul this. So we just got Laletta, and – I wanted Terrell Crosby because I thought he could be a good potential right tackle prospect. So I don't know why he's dropping so much.
And by the way, he is still on the board too. By the way, Dan, he isn't gone yet.
I know.
Crosby
I know.
Tweaked his foot in 2016, and there are some people who are holding a medical file as a yellow flag on him, and he's dropping like a stone. I can only think that's weighing more heavily than any of us anticipated. I don't have any other explanation.
What was the reason you think? I'm sorry.
He had a foot injury in 2016.
Yeah, tweaked foot.
Okay, because he seemed like I was really hoping that he would be our pick. So obviously, like you said, there must be something nobody.
Let me say this to you: for those who are weighing that heavily, he did have a terrific All-Star game. He was good at the Senior Bowl. Did well. Then went to the combine. Now, he did not even get 20 lifts on the bench press.
His number, in fact, people were disappointed. They thought, given his profile, he would have done much better testing at the combine. His testing numbers weren't great.
Well, the other numbers were fine, but the bench press, I think it was 17 reps on the bench press, which is very low. But all of his other numbers went fine, and like John said, they were disappointed people because they watched his tape. He's a second-round talent in terms of his production on tape.
I was just about to say that. I mean, every single ranking I've looked at, the Kuipers, the McShays, the Jeremiahs, the Matt Millers, all those guys had him as like a second round guy.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. So anyway, I want to ask about Laletta though, because you know, for a guy like me, I won't say that I am a non-believer in Webb. I'm just more of like a he's a third round pick. He's a late third round pick. To me, he's more of like a guy we're hoping for. So taking a guy like Laletta isn't that big of a thing to me. I think it's a good pick because a lot of people had him going in the late second or third round to some teams as a guy.
Bingo.
So to me, it's okay. Like, add competition, all this stuff. But for the people like you, Paul, who are very, very convinced, you are like sold on Webb. You
yes.
firmly believe Webb is the next quarterback,
I
the
do.
Next guy. And for all the people who feel the way you do, and they used Webb as a major factor in their reasoning to not take a quarterback at two, I'm just curious as to how you feel about this pick, because if you're a Webb believer, to me, this if you feel that way, this is almost like a wasted pick, and we should have taken another position or another guy that could have potentially contributed, because if you believe as strongly as you do in Webb, this guy ain't going to do anything for us ever. So
I've been talking about it for the last 25 minutes. I think I missed you.
I guess. All right,
oh, okay.
I'll listen. I'll if you don't want to recap
right.
it.
No sweat. Yeah, I'll give it to you in a thumbnail.
Thank you. Appreciate the call, buddy.
The Giants.
I appreciate it.
The Giants simply must feel the value there was too good to pass up. And, yes, one of the rules of thumb is competition does make everybody better, and you can never have enough good players at any position, as Dave Gettleman had told us last week. But personally, I would have gone to a thinner position like offensive tackle or corner and found what I thought to be good value. Obviously, they think Laletta is better than good value. He must be super value for them to take him and to outweigh the need component.
Yeah.
So you're fair to question me. I've said all along they'll not take a quarterback in the draft. I got one wrong. I got the first three picks right. What are you going to do?
No one's perfect. All right, let's go to the next caller. Aaron in Connecticut is up next. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, guys. First-time caller, been a Giants fan since 2000. I'm a young guy. one thing I really remember in those early years is Tiki Barber, how teams would shut him down for nearly a whole game. Then the fourth quarter would come, and he would just break constant, you know, 20, 40-yard runs. And I hope we get the same thing with Barkley. I'm really excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
I like having a ground game. I think it's definitely beneficial to the team. So that's that. I'm really happy with the first three picks. As for the Laletta pick, I think he was good value in the fourth round. But I'm in the Webb camp. I really like Davis Webb. I think that he's possibly the future. We can never be certain. We don't have tape on him in the NFL, but I definitely think.
You said possibly the future. Well, what if that possibly turns into not? Now you have a backup plan. That's a good thing.
Yeah, which is why I agree with the value.
Good.
The thing that I immediately thought, though, is you have Eli and you have Webb, who are both known to be hard workers. For Laletta, I don't know. I can't say I know anything about him because I didn't scout him. I'm not like that. But he's going to have to come in and he's going to have to work hard because both those guys are known for their work ethic.
Oh, there's no doubt. And he is known to be a good across-the-board guy in terms of his attitude, his mentality, his smarts, his poise. I'm telling you, they're going to have to rename the quarterback room the Mensa room because all three of these guys are going to be work warriors and film gurus.
Thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
I want to get to a couple of your calls, and then hopefully we'll have Kyle Laletta at some point relatively soon as well.
Oh, that'd be nice.
We're working on that. Let's go to Adam in Columbus. He's up next. What's up, Adam? How are you?
Hey, guys, I'm doing well. How are you guys doing today?
Hi. Doing well, Adam. What's up?
Real quick, I'm in the Webb camp as well. I love Davis Webb, but I don't think this is a wasted pick. I don't think ever having value detracts from having the number one
right.
guy in front of you, just like I don't think having Davis Webb detracts from Eli Manning. You know, you get good competition. Look at what Nick Foles did when Carson Wentz got hurt.
Yeah, it's only a wasted pick when you pick a guy and then find out he wants to go play minor league baseball instead. Then it's a wasted
sure.
pick.
Absolutely. He goes and beats up his wife and gets a DUI.
Oh, I'm not going there.
Like that, you know?
Let's not go there. That's not cool.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Somebody does something of character that you realize,
yeah.
man, we just blew a pick on him. But anyway, I think we've done a beautiful job this draft of balancing the idea that Eli can make a run with the idea that Eli's 37. You know, you've added pieces. You've started to bolster the O-line. Like everyone else, I'm thrilled with Will Hernandez at 2. That pick was in 10 seconds into our clock. I mean, as soon as I saw it, I was like, I thought to myself, that's who we got. I don't know how the Browns missed on a guard right before us, but, you know, it's an exciting time to be a Giants fan, and I love this draft. I was a little skeptical of Gettleman, but I got to say, I really love what he's doing so far, and the real metric will be 2-3 years from now, but, man, this is encouraging.
Hey, appreciate the call, my friend. Thank you very much.
Yep.
201-939-4513. Adam in the Bronx, he's up next. What's up, Adam? Oh, I'm sorry, Mike in the Bronx. Sorry about that, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? I've been a big fan since the early 70s, but I'm glad they addressed the offensive line that, you know, the Giants are known for a running game, and what they needed for the past couple of years was the running game, the offensive line, which we had Sean O'Hara and those bunch of guys. Now, Eli, people got to realize Eli's a pocket passer. He's not a running quarterback.
Right.
And, you know, Eli has at least 2 to 3 years in front of him, and I'm glad they addressed the offensive line. But everybody's overlooking Webb. You know, nobody knows about this guy. Everybody was saying, oh, they should pick Webb in the second round pick. I mean, first round, you know, a quarterback in the first round. But you don't know if he's a gem. If he becomes a gem, now everybody's second-guessing themselves. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I'm glad, you know, I'm really happy with the picks that they made, and they're addressing the offensive line. Because I've been, you know, saying this for many, 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 many years. You know, it goes to Coughlin. Coughlin's a hard-running game. Bill Parcells, hard-running game. You know, run, run, run. Without the run, you can't pass. You know, so
correct.
I'm glad they, you know, addressed the offensive line.
Well, I appreciate the call, and you're right. The offensive line needed retooling, and the Giants have certainly taken major steps to do that. By the way, one of the corners that I was looking at, Anthony Everett from Alabama, taken 18th selection in this round by the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, and
knock
him
off the board.
And I will at some point go through all the picks that we missed, and appreciate the call. Thanks for that. But we do have our guest, so let's get to him. John Ledyard from NDT Scouting.
Great.
He's joined us every year, I think the last 3 years, talking late day three picks. No one's better. He's done a great job. I think he's nailed the last 2 years he's nailed who the Giants' fifth-round pick is going to be. So he's going to give another try this year. Johnny, how are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it.
By the way, you can give your boy Jonah last night, who came on with us on Friday night. You know what? He picked a quarterback for the Giants with one of their with their fourth round pick. He picked the wrong one. He picked Mason Rudolph for one of their third round picks. Ended up being letter in round four. So I'll give him partial credit for that answer. Just real quick, your thoughts so far on the Giants draft? To me, you look at each one of these picks in rounds 2, 3, and 4, and I was almost surprised those guys were sitting there waiting for him. So to me, it's real good value. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, there's just going to be a philosophical difference between the way I would build a team and taking a running back number 2 overall and the fact that the Giants don't pick that high very often. You know, I would have gone the route of quarterback. But, you know, I'm not going to be particular about it. The situation is what it is. They clearly believe in Eli Manning. They clearly believe he's still going to be the guy there for a while. I think he's been declining a little bit the last couple of years. But, man, if you can't be good with the skill group they're going to put around him, with Barkley in the backfield, with Jonathan Stewart there, you know, with the receiving core that they have, with Evan Engram and Odell Beckham now, and I mean, the fact that you can easily, I mean, split out a guy like Saquon Barkley and the versatility of the packages that Barkley and Engram give you, and then don't forget about Sterling Shepard. He was also one of my favorite players in that draft.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's been really good despite some adverse situations in New York during his short career. So, you know, to me, that was a pick that definitely added danger to their offense. And then they were still able to come back and get one of the best guards in the draft and a perfect fit for them in Will Hernandez. To me, that was, in terms of value, I just thought they nailed that pick. They needed a guard. He was the best one on the board. He's a perfect scheme fit for them. You plug him in next to Nate Solder on the left side. You know, Brett Jones at center, I think it's okay. You know, there's a hole at right guard. There's going to be some competition there. Hopefully they get a capable body there. The guy they brought over from Jacksonville, Mame, I think he makes the most sense there if he can play on the right side. And then Eric Flowers at right tackle, where I'm sure they're going to help him in pass protection. There's also obviously questions about his future. So, right. You know, the right side may still need some work. You could have prioritized that maybe a little more with the next couple picks. But Lorenzo Carter's such an interesting guy. I mean, he's a high upside guy that I think fits Betcher's defense. So it makes some sense there. And then B.J. Hill was a pick I really liked as well. You know, I don't know where he factors into the starting lineup, but a terrific third defensive tackle who should play right away.
I want to ask you more about Lorenzo Carter because Dave Gettleman admitted they tried to get up until the late second round via trade to go get him. As it turned out, they couldn't find the right price, and he fell into their laps in the third round anyway. A guy who can play weak side, he can play strong side. They see him as more of a pass rusher. The stats weren't gaudy at Georgia, but we know with so many good players, stats get spread out. He explained to us he likes to rush the passer, but because he was used in so many different schemes and in so many different ways at Georgia, that, you know, he understood why maybe some people overlooked him a little or maybe undervalued him. Talk a little more about what you think he does the best and how he will fit for the Giants as opposed to how Georgia used him.
Yeah, I think what he does best right now is dropping the coverage, honestly, and probably, you know, their situational play against the run with athleticism or any player that required range and things like that. He's not great at getting off blocks in the run game. I think he sets a strong edge, but then will get stuck on blocks a lot. You know, you saw him oftentimes late into the play kind of fighting and twisting his way to try and get off blocks. So just not a real clean stack and shed guy. As a pass rusher, he's just a total project. I mean, when he rushed at Georgia, he rarely won 1v1, so there's just not a lot of refined skill there. That's not unusual, though. I mean, Georgia, Davin Bellamy had the same issues at Georgia,
right,
on top of not being a great athlete. And then the guys inside, Trenton Thompson, who's in this draft, is probably going to get picked at some point. You know, he was the same way. There were flashes of it. You know, you can see movement skills with Carter. But, you know, his best plays that everybody wants, oh, look at him as a pass rusher, it was the Notre Dame game where he was unblocked off the edge twice, I think. So, you know, that ability to win 1v1 is just not really there yet for him. It doesn't mean it can't be there. He tested great. I didn't think he did agilities during the pre-draft process, which is pretty big in terms of evaluating pass rush athleticism, I think. The three-cone tends to denote that bend that helps you corner.
Yeah.
But still, explosive numbers are great. Size is great. You know, speed to power definitely seems like he could at least win with that. And then if he learns counter moves to get back inside tackles, because with his speed up the arc, you're going to get a lot of guys oversetting on you. So it's a total project, but the package is really good. And I actually thought he'd go higher as well just because of the upside potential. You know, I don't know whether he'll be able to develop or not. We'll see. I've heard he's a hard worker. I've heard he's a kid that's going to be dedicated to being very good. But things have been slow in terms of progressing for him at Georgia, slower than they hoped it would. He obviously comes in with quite a pedigree. But there's some level of concern that upside didn't show up often enough on tape.
You know, John, you know, you talked about your want for a quarterback. The Giants did eventually take one in Kyle Loletta. What's your thumbnail on him? I was at the Senior Bowl. I watched him there. I thought he showed accuracy, intelligence, good anticipation. Not a great arm, but certainly a good enough arm to make the throws you need him to make. What's your take on Loletta? And if you can go back in your notes at the end, give me a little comparison to Davis Webb, because the two guys will now be competing with each other for the Giants' number two quarterback spot.
It's true, they will be. Well,
yeah, they're about as polar opposite as you could possibly think, guys. You know, Webb is kind of very statuesque in the pocket. The best route that he throws is the 9 route and the vertical ball. A lot of stuff underneath confused him. I think he's a student of the game. Both guys are a student of the game. That's the way that they're similar. But the mental processing shows up a lot more with Loletta than it does with Webb. It just seems like Webb would get really frazzled in games and would make some mistakes. And so, you know, I think that Loletta's is definitely a better prospect. The physical limitations are very real, you know, and that's the other thing. Webb has a much better arm than Loletta does, and I think that's going to limit what he can do in the NFL. You know, and this pick is really not surprising, although I knew throughout the draft the Giants were very into Mason Rudolph. That hype was very real. They very much liked him. Mike Scholl really liked him. That was no secret, I think, during the process, and it was definitely expressed to me on more than one occasion. But, you know, they just didn't pull the trigger, probably, you know, largely because Carter falling into their lap. I wonder if he hadn't been there, they hadn't been able to get up and somebody would have taken him if they would have taken Rudolph, because I know they really wanted to consider him at that portion of the draft. Obviously, then Pittsburgh takes him. But he, you know, Carter and B.J. Hill, I think they just felt like were great values that kind of fell to them. And I think that was a wise decision because the reality is that if you're taking a guy that you see as your future franchise quarterback, you got to take him high. You know, history tells us, you know, just since 2000, the quarterbacks that have gone post top 40 that have gone on to be franchise guys, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady. We hope Kirk Cousins. It looks like Kirk Cousins, you know, is probably on that track, and maybe Dak Prescott. We'll see the big year coming up for him along that path. Other than that, you're usually looking at guys who are spot starters, there for a year or two, things like that. So that's where Laletta, you know, it comes in. The limitations are there. History's kind of against him ever being the franchise guy. Can he be a guy that steps in with the, you know, they need a bridge quarterback to their next guy? Sure, I think that. I think he's very similar to Case Keenum. So many similarities to me. Similar personalities, kind of unflappable. It's no surprise Pat Shurmur liked him from that perspective. Very much a game manager type of player. Not gonna screw things up for you, but probably never going to take you to the next level, too, is kind of how I saw his skill set.
Real quick follow-up, John, on the letter. You mentioned his arm limitations are real. Where do those arm limitations show up? Is it in the 15-yard, outside the hash, or opposite hash mark, out routes? Can he push it down the field? Does he lose accuracy because he has to throw it so hard to get the ball down the field on nine routes? Where does that arm limitation show up in his productivity and his ability to execute an offense?
Yeah, really good question, because I think that is an important distinction. A lot of times, you know, guys will say limited arm. Well, you know, Mason Rudolph, for example, limited arm.
No, he goes great deep ball. Great deep ball.
He can throw it in the air.
Yeah.
Right, he can throw it deep just fine. It's with velocity where he loses the battle, Mason Rudolph. And Laletta, it's kind of a little bit of both, unfortunately. You know, he can't throw it that far from everything I've seen, and he really struggles to get the full range because he requires so much of his body to throw behind the ball. You know, the motion is just so much bigger when he's going down the field, and that does make him struggle with accuracy a little bit more, in my opinion. You know, I think he also loses the velocity underneath. So, you know, the kind of the two sides of that, you know, and I think he, you know, he showed at the Senior Bowl. He threw a couple deep balls in the game at the Senior Bowl. They were on the money, but they were late. But the receiver had so much separation, it didn't matter. So the receiver just slow up, caught it. So he can put a catchable ball out there. It's the specific ball placement with timing that's going to be an issue for him on vertical shots over the top.
That's a great
and
answer.
Then with throws that need a lot of velocity, the tight window throws, he's just going to run into some troubles there. It's not going to be the mental processing. It's not going to be the decision-making per se. It's just going to be a lot of his, when his turnovers happened in college, a lot of the time it was because the physical limitation of just being able to fit the ball in a tighter window, where his mind told him it was a smart place to go with the ball just couldn't always get there on time. So you have to build something around him. I think Shurmur's, you know, Keenum doesn't have the greatest arm either. I think Shurmur's a great fit for him. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I think that, you know, you're looking also still at a situation, I think, where you're probably talking about a guy who's going to be a bridge quarterback, spot starter best. If you have a great roster around him, look what the Vikings did this past year, you know. So it's not, I'm not saying it's impossible for him to win games, but they're just going to have to build a really strong team around him to get that done.
All right, let's put him aside for a second because he's a quarterback. He's a special case.
Yeah.
How many snaps could you see the other fellas taking? I mean, we know Barkley's going to play a ton. All right. I know Hernandez is probably going to start. I'd be very remiss if I said otherwise.
It's Carter and Hill, really.
You know. So the question is, yeah, the question is, Carter and Hill, how much do you think they can play right away for this Giants team this season?
And in what role will those snaps be in?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, you know, Carter's really interesting because ideally he's a guy that you would like to sit and let develop and, you know, and let work on some things. But I don't know that I see a ton of better options in terms of what they're going to run with James Betcher there. You know, I mean, Avery Moss really is probably going to be an inside nickel pass rusher for them. You know, Vernon will obviously be on one side. It's going to be between, from what I see, and you guys correct me if you think I'm wrong, but, you know, from what I see, it's probably going to be Carter against Kareem Martin in Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, Martin,
yep,
the guy that's been around for a while.
Yeah.
Obviously, Betcher knows him well.
Most.
He'll probably be ahead on the mental side of things. I would imagine he'll start. But Carter is, you know, vastly superior in terms of movement skills and athleticism. So how quickly he gets in there, honestly, there's not a lot of depth there. I think it could happen quickly. I don't know how impactful he'll be right away, but, you know, I think that definitely there's just not a lot in front of him, which could lead to him playing sooner. B.J. Hill is interesting because everybody knows Damon Harrison's awesome, and everybody knows Dalvin Tomlinson, you know, had a pretty solid rookie season. Neither of those guys give you great pass rush. B.J. Hill's pretty much the exact same way, except he tested really well, and I think there's untapped athleticism there with him. You know, I think Moss will be one of your nickel rushers in terms of a guy that can kick inside and give you on the long and late downs. I think he's going to give you a push. The other guy probably is Hill. You know, I don't think he starts the season. I don't know where he starts down the road even for the Giants, but I think
they see a guy who has great size, who has very good movement skills for his size, who didn't make a lot of plays in the backfield and didn't do much of anything as a pass rusher at NC State. But I think they believe they can get him to that level where he has more upside than a Dalvin Tomlinson does. Now, I like Tomlinson a lot. I like B.J. Hill a lot. I thought both of them were really good value picks where the Giants landed them, and I think they're both guys who can start in the NFL. So at the very least, Hill's your third interior guy. If somebody were to get hurt, then he plugs into the starting lineup. In the meantime, how quickly he develops those tools as a pass rusher, probably going to determine where he goes. From everything I've heard and from talking about the combine, he seems like an excellent person, very hard worker, very good teammate. So as long as those things are true, then I think he can continue along that trend, and I think you could see him work into more playing time toward the end of the season.
We're joined by John Ledyard, NDT Scout. And John, let's not look backwards now. Let's look ahead. The Giants' fifth-round pick is, let's see, the Saints are about to make their pick, and then 6 more picks before the Giants select. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't look at the supplemental picks. My bad.
Yep.
You're right, Paul. 11 picks then until the Giants make their selection. Rick Leonard goes to the Saints, and we'll update that for you guys in just a second. John, before we get to who you think the Giants will take, why the hell is Terrell Crosby still on the board here from Oregon? We're trying to figure it out, and we got
this. Is the foot that bad? I mean, he did well at the Senior Bowl. He did well at the combine outside of the bench press. I mean, look at the tape. The foot doesn't look like it's a bad thing.
Man, I tell you what, it's a home run pick if somebody gets him here. You know, I mean, it's really unusual to me that he's on the board. Jacksonville is, I think, about to be on the clock, or is on the clock right now, which is kind of the perfect land. A lot of people thought he could go to Jacksonville in the first round because he's such a good fit there. If he gets past them and somehow gets to the Giants, man, I mean, it's a perfect fit, you know. So I know it's not a character thing. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, I can't completely vouch for it because I don't know anything, but I know for him, everything that I've ever heard from teams and from people around him talking to his kid, you know, character has been a high mark for him. So it's got to be something with the foot, I guess, but he did the combine workouts. Like, I don't know, you know, and we didn't hear anything during the process about it. So it is very unusual. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I think he's a plug and play guy who starts right away. He is I think he's 37 on my board. The only other guys left on my board are Maurice Terce and Josh Sweat that are higher than him.
But they're injury guys.
Obviously just falling for medical concerns. So,
yeah.
You know, I think that he's a terrific player, and I think he should start right away in the NFL.
How about your Ohio State guy, John?
Jamarco Jones was the other guy I was going to ask about, Paul. Thank you. He's another guy that I think can step in and be a factor and at least compete for a starting job right away, John. What do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was my number 2 tackle in this class. Now, I had a big drop-off after Mike McGlinchey. You know, for me, you know, Jamarco Jones was still like a third-round type of pick,
right?
You know, mid to late third-round type of pick. But in this range of the draft, that's great. And usually those types of guys go higher, and I'm not the only one. You know, Brandon Thorne, our O-line expert over at NDTScouting.com, he was the same way. You know, he thought Jamarco Jones was second-best tackle in the class. Pretty much everybody. I know you guys have had a lot of the same at NDT. We won't pretty much like Jamarco Jones. You know, there's really not, I think our entire staff does, and there's not many lines we all agree on. But, you know, he was some one guy that all of us thought was really good, and it is unusual he's still on the board. Now, his pre-draft process was a little weird, right? We didn't really hear about him going to the Senior Bowl, and then I don't think he did everything, and there was some, you know, he was kind of like snubbing a lot of the process to work out, and I don't know if that rubbed teams the wrong way or something. You know, I'm not really sure. But it is unusual he's still on the board. You know, his pass sets are better than a lot of tackles that have gone before him. You know, teams do favor upside of tackle, and I don't think he has a lot of upside. But at the same time, you know, there's a ton of value for a guy who can step in and play right away, even if he doesn't ever become an all-pro player.
John, 1 second. I'm going to ask Paul something. Paul, can you pop culture question. We know the Niners mascot is there. Can you name any one of the other characters that are up there making the Niners pick right now?
Well, there's Chewbacca.
Okay, you know Chewbacca.
And the Stormtroopers.
How about the droid? Do you know what the droid's called?
R2-D2.
Oh, very good. I'm impressed.
Yeah,
good job,
but that goes back to the original Star Wars.
Yeah, that goes back to the 70s. That's
true. I stopped watching Star Wars after the third movie. Okay, that was the end of it for me. John, there has been one offensive tackle go off the board since the Giants picked. Rick Leonard. Kentavious Street just went to the Liners at defensive end. Rick Leonard from Florida State just went off before Street. So obviously, both of the gentlemen we just asked you about are still available for the Giants if they decide they're going to go that way. We thought that the other thin position with good value was cornerback as we were going through the fourth round. Could you potentially give us maybe two names at corner if they're still there for the Giants at the top of the fifth who you might see as a good fit for them?
Absolutely. Quentin Meeks and Holton Hill. Quentin Meeks from Stanford, student of the game. You know, he had some rough tape this year at different points, but the USC game, very good for him. Big, long, physical. He tested very well. He ran very well. He ran a 4.49 at his pro day. You know, it's a little bit unusual for a guy like that to be on the board. His dad is a coach in the league for years. Extremely high character, extremely motivated, worked ethic off the charts. Yes, his tape was a little bit sketchy at certain points, but, man, we've seen way worse corners with that kind of upside go earlier. And, you know, he, as a person, as a worker, he's going to do everything he can. I think he could kick the safety and play for you, too. So, I mean, if a team needed him to. So I think he's one guy playing press man, played in a lot of diverse coverage teams at Stanford. I think he's going to be a steal at this range in the draft. And then Holton Hill from Texas, talented, only rolling due off the field and concerns and character concerns from his time at Texas. I mean, this guy will hit against the run. He comes in. I mean, against Oklahoma State, he was phenomenal. He was their best run defender for Texas. I mean, he would fly up. He would make plays in the run game. He was physical. He really took James Washington out of the game for the most part. You know, can play it off, need some technique work and press. I think he's a good corner. He doesn't have ball skills with his back to the ball would be my one concern. But, you know, if you're using him the right way, I definitely think he can be an impact. If those offensive linemen are off the board, I think one of those two guys will be the pick for Jackson.
Well, John,
for New York.
Back-to-back NC State picks. Will Richardson, the offensive tackle, just went off the board to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So Jones and Crosby still there.
Still there. Let me go back to corner, John, because I liked Tony Brown out of Alabama. And I don't think he's getting enough love here. I got to ask you what you think of him and why you think maybe he's not getting enough ink.
Yeah, I think it's because there's been some character things with him, you know, and I don't know what's out there and what's not, but I know that you know, there were concerns coachability-wise at Alabama.
He is a fiery guy.
He's very much a fiery guy, yes. And so, you know, that Darius Geis is one of the best players in this class and just fell to pick, like, what, 59 or something because, you know, of the, he's an emotional guy or something, you know, so you know, ambiguous stuff like that. So it's funny how sometimes how it works, and it's funny how the process plays out and how teams like certain things. The other thing about Tony Brown is that he was in the doghouse at Alabama. I don't think necessarily for off the field, just for on the field mistakes and stuff. He would blow coverages and stuff, and all that would continually happen with him until this past year he played a lot more. Now, they were a lot thinner in the secondary than they've typically been this past year. So, you know, he played kind of like a dime nickel type of role for them and wasn't a, like a Quelber outside corner. So just a great athlete who plays really hard, is very physical, not very refined or technical from what I saw. But, I mean, he's a stud on special teams right away. I think he will probably go in the next 20 picks or so because there is that immediate impact ability on special teams and the athleticism to develop at corner or nickel or safety. You know, a lot of teams have talked about playing him at safety, so I think that there's enough of that he will come off the board fairly soon.
John, final one for me before I get your prediction. Are we missing somebody here? We talked about tackles, corners. You mentioned Maurice Hurst. And,
maybe a receiver.
And Josh Sweat. Equanimeous St. Brown, someone we talked about. Is there somebody that we're not talking about that you love that you're like, boy, whoever gets this player now, they're going to be running right to the bank and being thrilled with it?
Well, I think, you know, you look at the safety position, and this is a tough one for me because I don't want to necessarily vouch for it. Dane Cruikshank from Arizona can do a lot of different things for you. He's a very versatile type of player. He has the athleticism where you would think about playing him deep. You know, I like Darian Thompson coming out. You know, I like certainly the room that they have there. Obviously, Landon Collins is a stud. But you know, I think behind them there could be some improved depth, and Cruikshank's a guy that has a ton of really good athletic traits. He can do some things in man coverage. He can give you some versatility where I think that they could, you know, if you wanted to move Landon Collins around and play him in different roles, depending on what the matchup is, Cruikshank could be a guy that helps you be able to do that because he's versatile as well. So I think he kind of fits the modern-day NFL. I've heard he's had trouble picking up concepts at Arizona and with it, maybe the mental part of the game. His tape, you know, at corner 2 years ago, he played corner, and it was really rough. But then he moved to kind of a safety big nickel type of position this past season and did some really good things, I thought, for Arizona. Had really good tape, especially in man coverage. So he's an interesting player that I think could be considered, and I'm a little surprised he's still on the board just because of the size, the athleticism, the upside that he brings to the table.
John, finally, let's get your prediction. You've nailed two of these. I'm trying to remember who the guys you hit. I think you had Avery Moss.
Yeah.
And last year you
and
hit
Wayne Gallman.
And he Wayne Gallman, that's
did.
Right.
The heat is on, John. Yeah. The heat is on.
The pressure's on. I'm going to go with Meeks. If he's still on the board, I'm going to go with him. I just think Crosby and Jamarco Jones are going to come off the board sometime, especially Crosby. You know, the Rams have shown a lot of interest in him. You know, they're kind of looming here in a couple picks. And I think they've got back-to-back picks coming up. And so I think those guys maybe come off the board. Obviously, if they're on the board, you know, I think Giants would be crazy to pass on them, depending on what else the medical stuff and that I might not know. But, you know, Meeks to me is just the kind of guy that I think is going to come in, is going to commit himself to getting better and better. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with Eli Apple, but if Apple and Jenkins are the starters, you know, I think that he's a guy that's going to work under Betcher. I think he's going to work his tail off. I think he's going to try and get better every single day. I think he projects potentially to a lot of different coverage schemes. So Betcher's been versatile in the past with his schemes, and a guy like that could really make a lot of sense. And he likes guys with chips on their shoulder. You know, he likes guys that are going to play with an edge. And that's what Meeks is going to bring to the table, I think. So I'm gonna go with Meeks to me. I think that he's going to be the pick for the Giants.
John, good stuff. We appreciate the time, and we'll see if you go 3 in a row.
Thank you, John.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Always good to talk to you. John Ledyard, NDT Scout, and we thank him for joining us. We're only about 5 picks away here from the Giants' first pick in the 5th round. So we're not going to take any more calls. We're going to go. We'll find out who the Giants' 5th pick is. We'll react. We'll try to get Kyle Loletta, and then we're going to say goodbye. All right? So we got 5 picks to go. Thank you, Dave Dominick.
Hit us up on the web at Twitter, at hashtag Giants Chat,
yes.
While we try to clear the phone lines for Kyle Loletta, and we wait for the Giants' pick. We ask you to hit us up on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat, and we will try to answer your questions and go through your comments there. And, you know, we'll do what we can to bring you all the Giants information here as we get to their 5th round pick, which by all accounts, unless something changes, will be their final pick of the draft, John.
Do you want me to recap what we've missed?
Might as well.
Yes. Why don't we do that first? Here we go. And again, the 5th round pick is the Giants' final pick because of trades that they've made. And by the way, the Giants did own the compensatory pick in round number 4, but it got traded to the Los Angeles
That was
Rams.
In the Ogletree deal,
correct.
Which also sent their 6th round pick to L.A.
Correct.
And in the 7th round, they made the deal last year to get Ross Cockrell.
Right.
And that cost them this year's 7th. So that's
correct.
Why in the last 2 rounds, at the moment, the Giants are going to be sitting by the wayside.
All right, so I'm going to just go through this quick because we haven't done a whole lot since Loletta got picked by the Giants, so I'm just going to go through those real fast so we have them, okay? Obviously, Loletta, 108 overall to the Giants out of Richmond, the quarterback, an FCS guy, which Paul and I have a soft spot in our hearts for him. And by the way, the Richmond Spiders that might have the coolest helmet in the
It is
too.
Wicked.
It's a nice helmet.
It is.
I told you, I like white helmets. We had this conversation yesterday. I'm a big fan of the white helmets. Troy Apke, the safety out of Penn State who blew up the combine in the drills, ended up going to Washington at 109. 10th pick in the 4th round, Oakland pick cornerback Nick Nelson out of Wisconsin. Los Angeles Rams then pick Brian Allen, the center out of Michigan State. Mark Walton, running back of Miami, went to Cincinnati. Deshaun Hamilton, wide receiver out of Penn State, went to Denver at 113. What do you got, Paul?
I was going to say Mark Walton was, of course, a Jeff Fiegel's favorite since his son does attend the University of Miami. He's a punter for the Hurricanes.
A lot of people think he's a big sleeper in this draft.
Walton battled injury through college, and there were a lot of folks who were really concerned about, A, his durability, and B, if he would ever reach his potential because of the residue from his injuries. But I know Fiegel swore by him and thinks that, you know, maybe it's hurricane-colored glasses. I don't know. But he swore by him that he would be a sleeper in this draft, and he goes in round 4.
He did not test as well at the combine as people thought he would. Which
nice guy, though. We remember sitting by the podium talking to him.
Don't worry.
Good guy.
He's a gentleman.
He sure is.
Sorry, I had to do that.
I know you
If you watch the NBC show on Thursday, you know why that's funny. Pick 114, 14th overall in the 4th round. The Lions took Deshaun Hand, the defensive lineman out of Alabama. You saw him at the Senior Bowl. At 115, Chicago from the Cardinals picked Joel Iguinue I think I got that right.
I'm not sure.
Do you want to give it a shot?
No.
Linebacker out of Western Kentucky. The Dallas Cowboys at 116, 16th overall in the fourth round. Pick Dorrance Armstrong, an edge defender out of Kansas. He's a defensive end. Rod Marinelli likes to bring those waves of defensive linemen. He'll be one of those guys. And the Cowboys have another pick at the end of this round as well. As a compensatory selection, pardon me. Detroit at 17 has Jordan Whitehead out of Pittsburgh, safety. Baltimore then selected Anthony Averett, cornerback out of Alabama. You mentioned him before, Paul. The Los Angeles Chargers selected Kaiser White, a safety out of West Virginia. We saw him at the Senior Bowl as well, and I thought he played pretty well there. Seattle took tight end Will Disley out of Washington. Some people think he has some pretty good upside. The Bills took Taron Johnson, cornerback out of Weber State. That was 121 overall, 21st in the fourth round. Ravens then took Kenny Young, a linebacker out of UCLA. Miami took Durham Smythe, tight end out of Notre Dame. Kansas City, 24th pick in the fourth round. Armani Watts out of Texas A&M, 25th overall in the fourth round. 125 overall in the draft. The Eagles took Avante Maddox, cornerback out of Pittsburgh. 26th pick in the fourth round. Atlanta took Ito Smith, a third down back running back out of Southern Miss. He also did a good job at the Senior Bowl. We saw him there. Saints took Rick Leonard, offensive tackle out of Florida State, which was a bit of a surprise to me.
Yeah,
we had our Florida State guest. I'm not sure if we talked to him about Rick Leonard, to be honest with you. I'm surprised he went this high. Again, that was 127 overall, 27th in the fourth round. Niners, 28th pick in the round, 128 overall, selected Kentavious Street, defensive end of NC State. I think that's good value there for Street.
Coming
this
off
round.
A knee injury.
I like it. Will Richardson, offensive tackle of NC State, goes to Jacksonville. That was 129, 29th pick in the fourth round. Philadelphia then took Josh Sweat, another injury consideration. Now, he's been healthy in college, but as we talked about with our Florida State guest, he had such a bad knee injury in high school, they thought they might have to amputate the leg.
Oh,
tore all three knee ligaments.
What a story.
And they say he kind of maybe looks a little unsure on the leg, but he got picked by the Philadelphia Eagles, and his numbers at the combine were off the charts ridiculous in terms of his athletic ability. So that's an upside pick there for Philadelphia. Miami selected Kalen Ballage, running back, with their next pick. And let's see if any more came down since I've been.
Yeah, Jaleel Scott, wide receiver, New Mexico State to the Ravens.
Okay. And he's from Arizona State, by the way, Ballage. Sorry.
So the Ravens pick here was number 32 in the round. So they are up to number 133 overall. The Giants are picking 139 overall. So we are getting there rather quickly, and we will keep it right here until the Giants make that pick. Still, John, the two offensive tackles that we have talked about and John Ledyard alluded to, their tape says they're terrific value. That's what their tape says. But we don't have access to the rest of those files, and – you know,
but DeMarco
and
Jones.
The Giants aren't the only ones who passed on these two guys. The whole league has passed on these two guys.
Me and you do as much. I mean, I'm not going to say we do as much work as scouts because we don't, but
no.
For people in the media, we do as much as we can. And
I mean,
we try our best. And I don't know. I didn't hear anything about these guys other than they were pretty clean prospects, which is why this is so surprising to me.
Well, the other thing is, too, I suppose. I don't know the answer to this.
Packers just took Jamon Moore, wide receiver out of Missouri.
There have been a couple of mini runs during the course of this draft. There was a mini run on center earlier, as there always are.
Wide receivers in the second round.
Run there.
Running backs in the second round.
Run on the running back. There was a few tight ends all of a sudden went quickly.
Between picks 20 and 50, you had a lot of offensive linemen go on the interior.
Interior.
Yes, interior.
And I don't know, maybe people were so caught up in some of those runs that they kind of got away from the tackle
they
spot.
They picked Will Richardson over them? They picked Rick Leonard over those guys?
That's what I can't explain.
I don't know.
I could explain some of it with runs. I can't explain how those last two tackles just went since the Giants last picked and how neither one of them were Crosby or Jones. I don't, and neither does Ledyard.
I don't know. I haven't seen any.
Value on both guys, and they're both still there.
I can do a Google search here, but I mean, I haven't seen in scanning through Twitter as you've gone along and done this, Paul, any plausible explanation. I think Dane Brugler might have mentioned offhand there could be a medical concern for Crosby.
Crosby had the tweaked foot in 2016.
Yeah, but he played every game,
and
he did
all the drills at the combine.
I know. That's why it's so weird for me. All right, a couple tweets for you. Drew, North Carolina said you made the right move stopping the Star Wars movies after three. Very important. Josh Taylor, I agree the competition for the backup spot at quarterback is healthy. Maybe it's just my anxiety over the O-line that has caused me to want depth to tackle. We'll see what happens with Loletta and Webb. It's going to be an interesting battle. And I think John made a good point that we should kind of expand on a little bit, Paul. They're really polar opposite guys. One is a toolsy guy like Webb. The other is a guy that doesn't wow you with the arm strength and size and things like that, but just mentally he's so sharp, he's a good player at the position. So I think it's going to be a real interesting dichotomy watching those guys in practice every day. What do you got for
By me? The way, Christian at FBL Rave is tweeting out that Mayock said he's heard concussion concerns with Tyrell Crosby.
Okay.
At the same time, Brandon Thorne from at Veteran Scout, and if you follow on Twitter, he does a tremendous job scouting the trenches in particular.
Oh, does he? I don't follow him.
He's one of those good guys who gets into the linemen in particular. He says the best available offensive lineman on the board in order, Jamarco Jones, Tyrell Crosby, Will Richardson, who's now been taken, and Wyatt Teller. I don't think Teller's been taken yet, but he's a guard. And those are the four that he has listed as the best offensive lineman as of a short time ago. Again, Richardson has been taken, and Teller is a guard. So I had seen one written report. Someone had sent me earlier on Twitter earlier this morning that they thought there was a Crosby was in concussion protocol at the end of last year for a week.
Maybe.
But I didn't see anything confirmed about that, nor did I see that he was diagnosed with concussions.
Well,
remember, you can be in concussion protocol without having a concussion. So did not really give that much thought.
I got nothing here from Dane, and Dane Brugler, as you know, does a fantastic job.
He really does.
These guys. So, yeah, it's a mystery. We'll see what happens. The Cardinals pick is in, and it looks like somebody's announcing. And there she is. And we'll see. Looks like there are some – is that like a fake old school town in Arizona? What the heck's going on over there?
I have no clue. Anyway,
sorry,
and I don't see anything listed anywhere on the internet from reports about Jamarco Jones.
I don't understand why. And look, I'm not going to make
big
this
program. By the way, it's not like he was buried at Division III.
And that's where I'm going. Look, I'm not comparing him to Norwell, but when you look back and you see Norwell was undrafted, he became an All-Pro, and you sit there, you're like, he went to Ohio State. How in God's name did people miss this guy watching Ohio State film over and over again? And look, I don't think Jamarco Jones is going to go undrafted. Hey, Paulie, Fordham!
Chase Edmonds, running back.
Your boy!
1AA, All Patriot League selection. There were folks who thought he could be good value in maybe the fourth or fifth round.
I'm surprised four. Ooh.
I heard fifth.
Me too.
And believe me, as an alum, I was interested into finding out where he was going to go. We don't get very many.
No.
You know, we really don't. And so it was kind of a – you know what? I salute you. Chase Edmonds, Fordham Rams, Bronx, Rose Hill, going to the NFL.
When do you think the first NYU player is going to go? No?
How about three generations from now? when they institute football.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so what was I saying? Yes, so Ryan Norwell, you wonder how you look back and, you know, how do you miss him? You're watching Ohio State for all those other guys. How do you miss a guy like Ryan Norwell, right? Well, this is the same type of deal. I know Jamarco Jones didn't test well. But you watch him playing against top competition, he doesn't get beat. I mean, that has to count for something, doesn't it?
Kyle Krabs of NDT Scouting himself talks about standout players on the board. He mentions Jamarco Jones with a big question mark, not having any idea why. And he lists him as a top 40 player on his grading chart. So something's going on there. And again, we haven't heard a word about it, but Jones or Crosby, folks, they are at pick 135. The Giants are at 138, three picks away. Two highly graded film tape performance tackles are still available. Again,
Paul and I wanted to take these guys in round three.
I mean,
we did. We sat here in round three. You're banging the table for Tyrell Crosby. He's still sitting there almost in round five.
Suffice it to say, if it happens for either one of them, we will be talking about good value.
Yeah, you think? And, Paul, look, and overall, that's kind of my theme for this. If I would have told you before this draft started, let's play this game, that Will Hernandez was sitting there at 34, what would your reaction have been?
After what we heard at the Combine, I'd be absolutely ecstatic.
If I would have told you Lorenzo Carter was available
ecstatic.
In round three, what was your reaction? Exactly.
You saw it, folks.
And look, we didn't scout the tackles much, but as a couple callers pointed out, B.J. Hill was a top 50 player on a lot of people's boards. Good value at three. And I said it myself, I did not think Kyle Loletta would get out of day two. I thought he was a day two pick. So to get him in round four, I think that's good value as well. And it looks like we might have the Giants might have a chance to get good value in round number five as well.
Well, here's the thing. If they do go to the two tackles, whatever the file says that has knocked them down to the fifth round, there's no question, at the very least, they are competing for a starting job. We're not going to hand it to them as a fifth-round pick.
No.
No matter what the value says, even if they should have been a second or third rounder, which, by the way, those guys usually have a leg up on being a starter or a heavy rotational player. What we will say is if they draft an offensive tackle in round five, he will compete with Chad Wheeler for that job because Chad Wheeler's resume is unproven. We're not trying to knock him. He's going to be given a chance to compete right now. You know, we don't know what's going on with Eric Flowers, but there's going to be a competition at that spot. I think we know who the other four starters are on the offensive line. You know, there's one spot right now that's going to be open for competition.
With Will Hernandez in the mix, we know who
the
four starters are. Yes.
So you want to go by what you said to me? Oh, Paulie Dotz, Loletta, more competition at quarterback. I'm telling you, let's get more competition at offensive tackle.
You think I'm going to complain about it? I'm not going to. Heck, and you know what? Paul, look, just in terms of need here, folks, because look, Paul and I have done a lot of these players, but we're getting close to the point now where we're getting close to the edges here a little bit, okay?
Well, the Giants have one more pick.
Right, exactly.
This is it, folks.
Correct.
Their fifth rounder is their last pick, so they don't pick a guy here. Either they acquire a sixth or seventh round pick, or guess what? They're waiting till undrafted rookie free agency, which is going to be quite a ways. You're talking another four exits down the Jersey Turnpike before you get to talk to those guys.
Real quick, I'm going to go through some positions here, okay? Think they're going to take another quarterback? I think probably not.
By the way, I got to get NFL Network back on. We just lost our feed momentarily.
There's a controller. Go get it.
Let me go pump it up.
And while you're over there, get me a water, too, by the way. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. Yeah, we can't exactly lose NFL Network. Just hit the button on the controller, Paul. I think that should work. There you go. You're good. Thank you, Paulie Dotz. I appreciate it. And then you can get. I was actually trying to figure out a way to ask you to get me the water because I was really thirsty and like a dope. I didn't put one over here when the show started. But now we do. So that's great. I appreciate it. Now Paul's getting his Gatorade. Don't fall down.
There you go.
Okay. All right. So I think it's pretty safe to say they're not picking a quarterback, right?
By the way, John Franklin, Stephen F. Austin, defensive end, goes to the Rams at 135. So we've got three more picks. 6, 37, 38, and then the Giants.
Do you think there's any chance they take another running back with Gallman and Perkins on the roster? I know Perkins is banged up.
I'd be hard-pressed to see them take a running back here.
I agree. With Jonathan Stewart and Barkley in the roster and Gallman and like a banged-up Perkins, I'd be surprised. I agree. Oh, I got a good name for you.
They could go receiver.
Does Jalen Samuels, H-back out of Ohio State, interest you at all? Out of NC State, excuse me.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
He's a useful, like Pat Shurmur would use him in the pass game.
Yeah, I know.
Oh boy, he'd use him in the pass game. Well, the Giants only, remember, the Giants only have one fullback on the roster. Now, I would think that would be an undrafted free agent addition. But Jalen Samuels and Nick Borden, another fullback that I know people like out of San Diego State, are two guys that I would think.
He has a late round grade on him, Borden. Yep. I wouldn't be shocked if the Giants decide they want to bring in competition for Shane Smith and they want to use a fullback.
Right.
He would be the guy.
But
five
might be a little early, but it's their last pick. So do you throw that out then if you like the player? I don't know.
That's where Dave Gettleman's got to weigh this whole situation now.
Ooh.
Because if you don't pick a guy now who you really want to get your hands on, you run the risk of not being able to call him as an undrafted player after the next, you know, two and a half rounds go by the boards.
Panthers. Is this a recent trade or is this a trade from earlier in the draft?
I do not know.
Up here with the Rams. I thought the Rams were picking back-to-back here.
Rams take John Franklin Myers, D-end out of Stephen F. Austin. We mentioned that. 36 Panthers are on the clock. Let's see here. Okay, so 136 pick is in. So we need picks 137, okay. 138, and then we have the Giants.
I'm going to keep going through these positions real quick. Right?
Yeah.
So
they're not taking a quarterback, okay?
They're not taking a quarterback. We think fullback maybe, if they have a guy that they love at the position that they want to compete.
Receiver's a dangerous one here, John.
And that's the next one I'm getting to. Equanimeous St. Brown, who's a big guy, who, you know, no more Brandon Marshall. Do you want a really tall receiver to be a target? That's a possibility.
Yeah.
Another tall guy, Marcel Aitman out of Oklahoma State. He has not been picked yet, if I'm not mistaken, right? And then your boy Deion Kane out of Clemson. Is he still on the board?
He's still there.
He's still there, too. And those are some guys. And Simi Cobbs, another big wide receiver, 6'3", out of Indiana. So those are some wide receivers that are left that I think could be options.
Yeah, I would have no dispute on that and no argument there. And there's value with those guys, by the way.
I agree.
They are legit value.
Your thoughts at tight end?
I think the Giants have plenty of tight ends. I'd be very surprised.
They missed out on Jack Conklin. Would they want Tyler Conklin out of Central Michigan? You have Dalton Schultz out of Stanford. He's probably the best one left. Troy Famaglia out of Wisconsin.
I think the depth chart's just too full.
I agree. You have Red Ellison and Evan Ingram, and you have Jarrell Adams, who had a nice minicamp,
He did.
So I agree. Offensive tackle, we've talked about ad nauseum already. Jamarco Jones and Tywell Crosby, and then the two guys we like there. How'd another guard, Paul? Would you have an interest in a Cole Madison out of Washington State?
He's
a good player.
Here's why I wouldn't do guard. Because right now, behind the two starters, you've got Greco, you've got Jerry, you've got Jalapio, who can also play guard and center. I think the inn is full at that spot.
I agree. Scott Questenberry hasn't been taken yet, right? The center out of UCLA. He's a pretty good player.
Yeah.
He's not a bad player.
He would be good value in this round for somebody if you needed a center.
Ejiofor got taken, right, out of Wake Forest?
I don't know.
The defensive end. I think I took it the top of round three.
Did he?
If I'm not mistaken. I think so.
Okay.
Defensive end. Let's see. I think it's too early for Hercules. I like Hercules.
Do you?
Mahafata? Come on. That guy, the way he plays? He's a 220-pound defensive end. Who doesn't want that? It's tremendous. I don't see anybody else that jumps out at me a defensive end.
Panthers, Marcus Haynes, Ole Miss defensive end goes.
Oh, there's one of them right there. But no one jumps out at me at the defensive end spot. But again, I would never discount Dave Gettleman picking an edge rusher here if he thinks somebody can get the quarterback.
Well, you can't because pass rushers are at a premium.
And he likes to select defensive linemen as well. Puna Ford out of Texas.
By the way, Ejiofor was not taken.
No?
He's got injury history.
Is he still there?
Yes,
I thought
he is.
He got taken.
No. But you got a concussion issue and a labrum issue. So you have two injuries affecting him.
Has Okoronkwo went yet?
I do not see him listed either on this list.
He has not been taken yet.
I'm looking at a different page. No. Oh, wait. Another page.
Okoronkwo's gone. I just saw him.
Okoronkwo's gone. But that's it. That's it. The other guy, yeah, the other one's still there.
All right, linebackers.
By the way, Dallas 137, they're saying the pick is in. Giants picking at 139, folks. It's getting really close.
Yep. Shaquem Griffin still on the board.
He is. I would not do it, but I understand there is a tremendous amount of athleticism there.
I like Jannard Avery.
And a great attitude.
Jannard Avery out of Memphis, I think you might think about at this point. I think Shaquem Griffin will be an excellent pick for a team right now. I know that the hand thing scares people, but we talked about some of the cornerbacks, Paul, already. Meeks, Hilton, Holton Hill, Parry Nickerson, I like out of Tulane. And then we haven't talked much about the safeties, and I think John did a little bit when we had him on. Any safeties on the board that are really jumping out at you at this point, Paulie Dotz?
Oh, take a glance at my sheet here.
Tracy Walker, I think he went, right? Tavarius Moore's gone. Amani Watts is gone. How about Deshaun Elliott out of Texas?
He's on my list.
I like him.
Is White gone from West Virginia?
Kaiser White is
He's already
board.
Gone?
Yes.
I liked him better, to be honest with you.
I like Kaiser White coming out of the Senior Bowl. I did. Let's hear the Cowboys pick. Who's making the pick? Is that?
I think it might be a fan.
Either that or a former offensive lineman. One or the other.
He's a big fella. He is a big fella. All right, let's see what we got here. 137, Cowboys up on the clock. They're making the pick, of course, at their home stadium. And if they do not pick either Crosby or Jones, the Giants would have the chance for sure to get one of them if they wanted them.
And they already picked took Connor Williams, so I'd be shocked if they took another offensive
Dalton Schultz,
tackle.
Tight end out of Stanford.
I mentioned I thought that was the last best tight end to go, right?
And by the way, they have a tight end issue down there with Witten doing a lot of TV stuff and rumors suggesting he'll go to the booth. So they're doubling down and grabbing a bunch of tight ends.
Well, like singling down. It's their first one.
Was that their? They didn't take one earlier.
No, I don't think they did. So, right?
Who was the team that took two?
Oh, the Ravens.
Right.
They took Hayden Hurst.
Baltimore.
They took Hayden Hurst and
Andrews.
I think, right?
Yeah. Andrews, who many people thought was the best tight end in this draft.
There was there was a lot of varying opinions
on
the tight end class. They were all over the place. So we're one pick away from the Giants.
All right.
I think, is it Green Bay or did that pick get traded somewhere?
As far as I know, it's the Packers.
Right.
And it is. The pick is in.
Wow.
So, all right.
Okay, so let's see. How long before Dave Gettleman gets his pick in? 5, 4, 3, 2. I'm just kidding.
No, NFL Network is holding him back.
Yeah.
they will not let him make the pick. They've said to him, Dave, you must take at least 1 minute to get this pick in. 138 pick is in for the Packers. Giants picking at 139. And that will be the Giants' last pick of this draft unless something happens where they acquire one in the 6th round or the 7th round. But what we're going to do here, John, as far as I understand the plan is, we will have the 5th pick. We will announce it. We'll talk about it for a couple of minutes. Guys, hit us up when the pick is made on hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We'll take a few minutes to get your reaction,
yep,
and then we'll sign off for the day and put to bed 3 long days of draft coverage here on Giants.com, which in reality actually began all the way back at the Combine when you and I were in Indianapolis. Boy, it does seem like a long time ago now, doesn't it? I'll tell you what, it was quite a journey to get to this date on the NFL calendar, to finally get to this point where picks are really being made. My goodness, John, that was some Combine.
Pick is in.
Yeah, it is. And we didn't even get the 138. And already, Gettleman has it.
I told you. Why do you think I did my countdown?
Well, let's see. Defensive tackle R.J. McIntosh.
I told you, don't discount the defensive tackles, Paul. What did I say to you?
Dave Gettleman loves,
he loves his
big trenches.
Boys. Yes, he does.
He loves his interior linemen. And McIntosh goes off the board. What I had on him, defensive tackle, I had him suited for a 4-3 scheme. But obviously they have some other thoughts. Had at one point a groin injury that he had to overcome while he was in at Miami. I listed him as terrific get off at the snap, very athletic, at 6'4", and just about 290 pounds. And really, you know, as a potential 4th round value. Well, guess what? The Giants just got him at the top of the 5th round. It sounds to me, John, and I'm including Kyle Lauletta, the quarterback, in here, even though I did not favor taking a quarterback. It sounds to me like in every single round, the Giants got a round earlier in terms of value.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can't argue with that. Hit us up on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. We'll have a few more minutes here. Just to, John, let's get some of the scouting report that you have in your book, the Brugler book. And we'll take a couple of your comments quickly on Twitter, and then we will sign this thing out at 2 o'clock. It's 1:56 right now, so why don't we take 4 minutes and try to get your reactions, and then we'll kick it out.
And I'm going to bring out the Pro Football Focus book as well, which has all the numbers and charts in it for these guys. I'll do that for McIntosh and Lauletta, because we didn't do that on Lauletta either. McIntosh, real quick, Paul, 6'4", 286, junior, 22 years old. Here's his summary. Overall, McIntosh needs time to develop into more of a complete player, but his gap quickness and hustle allow him to be disruptive and make plays in the opponent's backfield. Projected 3 technique in a 4-3 defense, which for a guy like Betcher, that's what he wants, guys that penetrate and get up the field. So it seems to be a fit. 2-year starter, Miami, primarily lined up over the B gap as a 3 technique. Former defensive end. Interior rusher, attacks gaps to infiltrate the pocket. Efficient use of his arm over and spin moves. That's a swim move. Countermeasures and secondary moves are underdeveloped. While not underpowered, he can be washed from the hole in the run game. Again, just 285 pounds of defensive tackle. That's not a big hulking guy, generally speaking. So that's what we got for him. He was a 3-star recruit, and he was a 3-year player, 2-year starter at Miami. Somewhere Jeff Fiegel's is smiling.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And we're going to hear about how he's headed to Canton when Jeff Fegels walks into the building again. I have no doubt about that. Quickly, as John goes through, we will check Giants chat, see what your guys are trying to talk about in terms of the pick as we look at Giants chat. R.J. McIntosh, defensive tackle. Well, you know what? That is it right now. I've gotten a couple of tweets asking why the Giants perhaps didn't go for a tackle or go for a cornerback, but I don't have anybody here who's actually making any comments about McIntosh in particular.
And Brugler had him as a third or fourth rounder too, McIntosh, by the way.
So. Yeah, I you know, I'm going to tell you, value-wise, yeah, I think it's pretty much a consensus from the things that I've looked at. He's a round earlier in terms of value.
Pro Football Focus had him as their fifth-ranked interior defender last year.
You know?
And I can tell you what some of the numbers
and
are.
That's not a bad thing. You know?
I'll be honest. I did not watch R.J. McIntosh this
no.
year. So I did not get to him.
I did. I gave you a couple of comments, right. But I didn't do heavy work on him, believe
right.
me. Defensive tackle I didn't think was a huge need.
Here's the overview from Miami. And Paul and I only have so much time. We can only go over as many guys as we can.
I did over 200.
Havoc creator. Wants to disrupt every single play by fighting his way into the backfield. Good range in the run game. Can work his way backside to the front side to finish on the ball carrier. Slightly built, looks like more like a defensive end than a defensive tackle. I wonder if maybe they see him as almost a defensive end in Betcher's defense, and I think maybe they'll use him that way, kind of the way I'm reading about him here. I wouldn't be surprised if he competes with Morrow for that other defensive end spot.
Well, again, I saw him as a better fit for a 4-3, so maybe that's why they're thinking that. Move him outside in the 3-4.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be a guy that takes on double teams well. High motor, though, and, you know, Dave Gettleman loves that. Not always the most technically sound pass rusher, but fight snap to snap. Athletic three technique that profiles to an attacking one-gap defense, which is exactly what James Betcher runs. Not overly athletic, though, where you'd fall in love with him at the top of the draft, but he's one of the few interior defenders in this class who offers legitimate pass rushing tools that will translate to the NFL. So that's from Pro Football Focus. That's pretty
all
good.
Right.
And by the way, one thing I noticed, 33 7/8-inch arms. Those are long arms for a defensive end. That's pretty good.
That is true. All right, John.
Do you want me to give you the Loletta scouting report from Pro Football Focus real quick, just before we say goodbye?
Give it to him. Let him have it.
We might as well give it to him, right? We're here. We might as well do it. Here's what they have with our guy, Kyle Loletta, okay? Quick setup and release. Average arm. Sometimes throws a few risky passes into tight coverage. Quick decision maker. Excellent feel for throwing in the middle of the field. Completed 40 of 52 passes at the intermediate level in between the numbers. So throwing intermediate over the middle is actually very important in the NFL. It's an important skill to have. Good week at the single. Good week at the Senior Bowl. Posted the top grade among quarterbacks in one-on-one drills and graded well in both team drills and the game itself for Pro Football Focus at the Senior Bowl. Showed off excellent red zone accuracy in Senior Bowl practice, making tight window throws and excellent touch on fades. Must improve deep ball. Ranked only 101st in the nation in adjusting completion percentage on the deep ball at 35% this season. So that goes back to what John Ledyard had told us. Vaulted towards the top of the class. Middle of the field feel gives him a chance to succeed, though he must improve his downfield accuracy in order to take the next step. His short and intermediate accuracy make him a worthwhile mid-round selection, and we've seen quarterbacks improve their deep ball in the NFL, making him strong in the right areas for a transition to the next level. That is what Pro Football Focus has to say on Loletta. And that's he was MVP of the Senior Bowl. I know we mentioned that before. All right, Paul, let's wrap up here. Overall thoughts, 5 picks in the books. Oh, Shaquem Griffin.
Seattle.
Joining his brother, Shaq and Shaquem.
How about that?
Double Shaq. Good for him.
Absolutely.
He's a really good kid, too.
Good for him.
I talked to him at the Senior Bowl. We saw him at the Combine. Great, 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 great kid.
And being with his brother, I think, is going to be a plus. I don't think that's a negative.
And they went to the same college, too.
Yeah, but I mean... And it's Seattle, too. I mean, it's not like, there's angry, nasty media there who's going to, you know, try to stick pins in him or anything.
I don't know if anyone
would want
to
stick pins in him.
You're right.
I take that back. But, you know, there are certainly doubts as to how much he'll be able to play at the NFL level. But, hey, great story. Great for him. Perfect fit. I think nothing but the positive for him and his brother being teammates with the Seahawks under Pete Carroll. So very cool.
Yes.
RJ McIntosh for the Giants in round 5. Kyle Auletta for the Giants in round 4. That completes our third day. The Giants getting one round up of value in each one of their picks when you consider that Barkley, Hall of Fame kind of guy. I'll say that was even better value than a first rounder because most first rounders aren't Hall of Famers. So I'm going
to
make that general, broad statement.
It's hard
statement.
To get better value than 2 overall. I mean, come on, Paul.
Golden jacket. That's great value. Everybody else, though, was consensus one round up from where they took them. So how can you not like that? In the latter stages of the draft, it looks to me like they went more for value instead of need.
Yes, and by the way, I think that's the way to go late in draft.
And I understand.
Too, because, like I said yesterday, Paul, it's hard to find players that are capable starters in the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th rounds, okay? It just is. It's hard to find them.
I understand that.
There are guys out there, but they're hard to find. So the last thing you want to do is reach for a guy at a position you need that you don't believe in. If you see a guy that you believe in, even if he's not at a position you think is a huge need, you go and you get him. And I think that's what the Giants did today.
Yeah, I can't argue with that logic. I don't totally agree with it, I can't argue with
correct.
It. It does make sense.
And I would say the only thing I'm surprised about is that we didn't get an edge rusher or an offensive tackle in the group. I thought we would get maybe not both of those, but at least one of those two spots. Now, maybe they think McIntosh can do a little edge stuff because he's undersized, and they think he can.
Well, I think Carter, they project to do that.
You know what? I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. Of course, Lorenzo Carter.
Gettleman said that's what they want him to do.
And that's what I said I think he's going to do when they drafted him. Duh. I'm sorry. It's been a long couple of days, folks. I apologize. Yes. Lorenzo Carter.
We're worn out.
And frankly, I think Lorenzo Carter. I was thinking more of a traditional defensive end. He's more of a linebacker. Pass rusher. That's why it didn't click with me. Yeah, and I think that's where Lorenzo Carter is going to fit in best. And that's what he told us when we had him on, by the way.
He's most comfortable
as a pass rusher.
That's what he told us.
So let me rephrase. I'm not pass rusher. I'm a little surprised that they didn't add an offensive tackle or a cornerback at some point during this draft. That's the only thing that I think caught me by surprise a little bit.
I just tweeted that out too. Those are the two positions, and you could argue perhaps wide receiver, but you could always get undrafted free agent wide receivers who can come in and compete and maybe surprise you like Victor Cruz did. So I don't necessarily know they needed to use a draft pick on a receiver, but those other two spots, yeah, I'm going to tell you, I'm surprised that they didn't come up with a body in those two spots.
But if you don't think a guy's worth the pick at those
then
spots
you can't do
when
it.
They come up, then you can't do it.
If the board says you can't do it, you can't do it. And again, so many other parts to the files that we don't have access to that may have influenced those decisions.
No question.
Let's get some rest, John.
Yeah, well, I kind of want to wait for somebody to come down here to shut the feed down. So I'm trying to stall a little bit.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, folks. I was unaware of that. I thought we were just going to wrap it up and just, well, I don't know, kind of like a local cable television show.
Well,
get up from the table and shut it down ourselves.
Well, no one has texted me back yet, so we might just have to do that. Your thoughts? All right. Anybody, guys, thanks for being with us. We had a lot of fun. We hope you informed you and had a lot of fun over these last couple of days. On Giants.com. We enjoyed it. The Giants have added their 5 picks in the draft. If they do trade back into the draft somehow, which I think I would be surprised by, Dave Gettleman said he doesn't have much interest in trading future picks. We'll have that information on Giants.com, but for now, our Big Blue Kickoff weekend is coming to an end. You guys did a great job on the phones and on Twitter over the course of the weekend. Paul and I will continue to monitor the draft and interact with you on Twitter as the afternoon continues. For Paul Dottino, I'm John Schmelk. That's Big Blue Kickoff Live, day 3 of the NFL draft. Thank you so much for being with us. Adios, everybody. Have a great week.